All right, so I played a game against Tom Glad's Morton Eber with Strakoff.
Did he assassinate you on top of two?
Actually, the opposite.
Wait, what?
Yeah, top of two, I upkept superiority on Beasto 9 and allocated him 3 focus. Strakoff cast Overrun and popped Feet. Conquest took a shot with the big gun, the Blood Witch unit in the back, killed 2, letting Beast advance 6 inches into position. Nope. Beast then charged 13 inches, catching Morton Eber in reach range, and I was able to take her down with the last attack.
Didn't happen.
So you would say Overrun with Glee?
You were Overrun with Glee.
Damn it!
That's it. We're done.
We are never going to fire these jokes.
Yeah. That was really weak sauce. That's right.
Yeah.
Overrun with Glee. All right. Hello and welcome to Muse on Minis Miami episode number 21. Nah.
Bienvenido a Miami.
My name is Lance. I play Kador.
I'm Colin. I play Signar.
Keith. I play Signar.
Fox. I play Crix.
Aaron, I play Creeks.
What?
Yeah, so we made an awesome trade, and because of a viewer who, or I guess a listener, because we don't have people view the podcast.
Yeah, those complaints, we actually just got rid of Nick.
We like we went like a trade release type thing, and we went like, all right, we'll trade Elder Crump to the main cast, and we traded for Keith.
Yeah.
And then we just cut... We cut Crump.
Yeah. We sent him back to the minors.
We got Aaron.
Yeah, we literally cut Crump. Yeah. I mean, he's gone.
And then we went international, and we had to get Aaron from Tasmania.
Yeah.
Sure. So we had a very, very small window.
Didn't happen.
we had a small window when our salary cap, and I managed to come in.
Yeah. We got a good deal from the Tasmanian minor league.
It was...
to pick up Aaron.
We had to reach out pretty far for this new lineup.
International.
But I feel strong about this lineup,
it's
so...
a strong lineup.
It is a strong lineup.
We're going to Billy Beam the crap out of this.
Yeah.
It's like Moneyball. Yeah. We're doing this.
Yeah, we're going to win the championship.
I know.
World Series of podcasting. I love it.
Is that what happens at War Machine Weekend when Nate gets the room up there? Is that the World Series
happens,
of podcasting?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we won it last year. So
we totally
we're
won it.
Going to take it down again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so first up, we're going to talk about the little mayhem tournament that happened.
Very little. Yep. So small.
I think, Keith, did you already talk about it?
Yes.
So
you have to tune in to the real podcast to hear. I'm sorry. I mean the original.
The OG.
What episode was that again?
182.
Yeah, the one I just got in the email from John like 5 seconds ago while we're sitting here. Chad came on our podcast and while made fun of it at a regular interval, it seemed to have a good time. Mm-hmm. So we hope that you will have one too.
Didn't happen. Denial knowledge.
He may have just bought a big stuffed porcupine. I can't remember. Or hedgehog, was it? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, he stole Crumbs.
He stole it?
Hedgehog, yeah.
Sweet.
But yeah, so we went to a tournament. Me, Fox, and Lance. I guess Lance, Fox, and I.
Yeah, that works too.
It's better grammar.
Grammar, you know.
I got these word crimes.
so we're just going to do it. A small battle report.
Sounds like Weird Al.
That's what I said. That's what I was doing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That means you do care.
At least a little.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, go ahead.
I'll go and get it started.
Yeah, go ahead.
In round one, I played against Joshua.
What were you playing?
I was playing Siege and Epicales, my two lists.
Sweet.
My Siege list is very MSU style with a Stormwall, which is kind of... It's a little goofy, but I actually really like it.
What's MSU about it? What else do you have in there?
It's all basically solos. Like, it's solos, Black 13th, and... Like, that's it.
So you've taken out the Gamma Mage Cav?
Yep, no more Gamma Mage Cav.
Really?
I actually really like them with Siege, and I'll bring them back. I like boosted damage, Keith. Boosted damage is the way to go. Just saying.
What's boosted about?
Because they get boosted about. They have brutal damage.
Oh,
as one of their shots.
It's Pow 10, right?
Yep. And then they also do the. They can have blessed shots. So
sure.
Blessed on the feet turn when they're like something that's arcane shielded or something like that. Then you can just ignore the arcane shield, and then it's
so that's your anti-Signar matchup is Siege?
No.
You can shoot something with arcane shield with a blessed shot and net half a point of damage less than if you'd brutaled.
Sounds pretty good.
I mean, you know, whatever you have to do. Sometimes you have to.
The game's
though.
All about statistics. So.
He's here to dump on statistics. Everybody.
Okay. Sometimes
that small little
bit. Sometimes you just need to do half a point of damage less.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, that's right. Well, what you might do is just, you know, lull them into a false sense of security.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, turn one, your opponent's thinking, this guy's, like, not all there, is he? You know, like, I would have just gone with the brutal, and, you know, but he's, okay. And then that's when you, you know, surprise, I'm not a complete idiot. And
that's when you pounce. That's what I do every game. That's why I
get on it.
That's why I do nothing but basically lose.
Picturing Colin pouncing on his opponent.
Like, all you have to do is show up to one of the tournaments I go to, and I pounce every time. Yep.
Yeah, you just say, Colin, pounce on me, and you go, ah!
I don't think anybody asked for it.
No.
But they just Fluffy?
They sure get it.
I'm not Mr. Fluffy. He's talking to the
Why
dog.
Why are you talking to my dog?
Because I could have been talking to Colin. It was funny.
It's true. He's so fluffy. Like Gabriel Iglesias fluffy? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
All right. So
that was a way sidetracked. Let's get you back on to your
conversation. All right. So in round one, I played against an Omaha guy, Joshua Carpenter. Sweet guy. He was playing Rhett and I knew when I looked at his list, I saw Assyria, and I was like, I just didn't even look at the other list. I knew he was going to take Assyria.
Yeah.
And because he was going to take Assyria, I was like, wow, MSU, actually pretty good against Blinding Light. So I took Siege, and because my Epic Haley list has a lot of units and it's more classic Epic Haley, and so my gun mages not being able to shoot with Epic Haley is gonna be really bad. So like, well, auto drop in the Siege.
Epic Haley classic and new Epic Haley and crystal Epic Haley.
Yep.
Diet Epic Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epic Haley Platinum.
Platinum.
Yep. And my
I was going off Coke references, but that's all right.
In this game.
I guess you did. Go ahead.
This game was recorded by Elta Wargame, so it'll be sweet when they put that up.
Yeah, they were cool that they had the two tables set up with cameras, and then we had the Muse camera going too. So
they're going to have a lot of videos. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Two games under those cameras, I think. Yeah. Both of them were very brief assassinations.
Cool. Yeah.
I also played two games, but...
that were recorded?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
But so I took Siege... It was actually really interesting because the scenario was Incursion, and I decided to just kind of put all of my everything on one side and just hope that flag didn't disappear. Because with my style of list, I didn't have enough to kind of spread.
Sure.
So I couldn't cover all three flags if I wanted to.
Did you have it with Solos and a Stormwall, I assume?
Or did you... It was a Stormwall, so it's like Stormwall out the middle, which is just like where it goes.
Right.
I have like the juniors, so like Jake's Gaston, I have Epic Alexia, I have Rangers, I have Black 13th. And that's basically the list.
With an MSU and Siege doesn't really offer a whole lot other than like Mage Sight. What is
What it does is on the feat turn I get a bunch of boosted Patwells.
Right. Which you've talked about before, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows who listens to this podcast knows I love boosted Patwells and Siege.
Yeah, he might as well have a shirt that says boosted Patwells on it.
I heart boosted Patwells.
I do want to mention
I love New York shirt.
I was actually gonna take Epic Kane in this tournament, and then one of the listeners said, "Oh God, I hate how much Colin talks about Siege." I was like, no, I got to take Siege now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're just trolling all of our listeners?
Yeah, basically.
Did any of them show
up? Well, just one. It was just one that said it, so I'm just trolling the one.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I'll figure out his name. I'll hunt him down.
Did he come to the tournament?
Yeah, I don't know.
And did you play against him?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. He gets to hear you talk about it some more, so keep going.
So basically the game comes down to I had put all of my, solo guns opposite his halberdiers. And he had kind of like charged, like turn one, basically nothing happens. I run up, he runs up. Turn two, he had charged in with two halberdiers trying to get Epic Alexia because I had misjudged their threat range with Desperate Pace.
Okay.
And so he charged in, didn't do a combined melee. He popped their mini feet trying to kill her and fell 1 point short because he hit one charge and the other one missed, and then the one charge just fell 1 point short.
Sure.
And then that was actually just huge because then Epic Alexia kind of gets to run the table by collecting souls the next turn because there's a bunch of halberdiers.
Right.
And then I got to score on my second turn. I got to score a scenario point because all those solos were over on that side of the flag.
Sure.
And that flag didn't disappear. So Eris was just sitting on that flag and just popping. Plank I was just popping sheet. Guys. Yeah. And then eventually I kind of overran that side and kept his Hyperion from being able to contest, and I just won on scenario.
Nice. So yeah. Basically you're saying you're like Las Vegas-style gambit of just put all the chips on one side of the table.
Everything over here. Come on!
It was kind of one of those situations where he had deployed very, like you see most of the time for the scenario, very balanced on both sides. And it's just like, well, if I just load up on one side,
chips in.
I might just be able to just push in if I just... You know, if I just get that one 50-50 shot of that flag sticking, and it did, and I had a good scenario game after that. So
would it have been horribly different if the other flag?
Yeah, it would have. Yeah. But the thing is, the other side, if it was that flag that stayed, he had Mage Hunter Strike Force over there, which isn't going to hold that flag for long, mm-hmm. not with Siege Ground Pounders. So mm-hmm. like. I can deal with them, especially if they try to bunch up around. He's not going to score scenario points because he's going to have to bunch up around it.
So you didn't have any solids or anything to sneak over there?
I put Jake's over there just in the off chance.
No, you said he didn't have any solids.
Oh, no. Because his list, that's one of the, kind of one of the weaker things about units nowadays is like, because you don't get the, like, control flags as easily as when you play solos. So he didn't have anything over there except for the Strike Force. And then the only thing else was, like, mechanics that were obviously behind Hyperion, so probably not up there in a scenario play.
Right.
So.
And plus, I mean, mechanics are pretty trivial just to remove anyway.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely. And definitely for that list, my siege list removes infantry actually pretty well. So
cool.
Yeah, so that was my round one. It was pretty sweet.
Do you want to go through your whole day, or do you want to another round?
I can go through, like, next game real quick. I played against Dan Sammons in round two. It was also recorded by Elta War Game. This game was really short. It was I was going to lose on attrition super hard because he was playing. I decided to take Siege again. He was playing Mercs with
Galleon and Shay and Durgan.
He took Durgan against me.
Yeah.
He with no Okay, this is actually going to be something we talk about on the podcast. Maybe not today, but eventually.
Sure.
He took an Earthbreaker on turn like two. I think it was turn two, and he decided to shoot up my Stormwall. And he was like, before the turn, he's like, oh, I think I could charge you, because I had misjudged, and the Earthbreaker could actually charge my Stormwall. I was like, oh, crap. Well, I made a huge mistake. And then he was like, well, I think I'm just going to play it safe and camp all of my focus and allocate none. I was like, oh, my God, my Stormwall is not going to be dead. And then because of tune-up, he basically just... He did 38 points of damage with the Earthbreaker from ranged. Mm. And it's just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do against
Cacao.
That. Because I had...
With Arcane Shield and everything on?
I did not have Arcane Shield because I was so afraid of the assassination.
Sure, so you had it on Siege.
I put it on Siege and camped a little bit of focus. Yep. Because it's just like, well, I have to keep my caster. If my caster dies, I'm obviously...
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and the assassination threat against Durgan is so huge. With his threat range. And
right. Just hide behind the Stormwall.
I mean, sure. Except it would have put me in a not-so-great scenario play, I felt like.
So how many shots did he have against you? I'm just trying to do the math. Was it like
he rolled up five of those D3 shots.
So five and then the two big ones?
Yep.
So seven. So if you had Arcane Shield, you'd take 21 damage off.
He also got an arm off.
But I'm just thinking of just the math if you have that.
Arc Shield knocks off 5, 29? 7, 21 damage.
Yeah, 21 damage.
Yep. And so then, 17. Like, the tune-up for damage.
Did you have a mechanic in the list at all?
I did not.
Hmm.
It's something I might think about doing from now on, because that was pretty brutal.
Arlen Strangeways would be interesting.
Yeah.
For the repair, and then his vault. You know, Voltaic's blast thing is an interesting way of like dropping screens off.
The thing is, I really like Arlen and Epicale because she doesn't have to use focused.
Sure. I don't see people running him at all.
Like I actually really like him. He's normally one of my two lists.
Yeah, when I played Signar, I liked him a fair amount.
He's good.
Yeah, so, people just don't take him that often.
So in the
I'm
game,
excited to see someone running him.
He does this to the Stormwall. I made a misplay because I let myself get a little tilted because, like, you know, when you. 38 points here is colossal, and it was just like... So I kind of let myself get a little tilted, and it was bad. It was, like, just kind of a mistake on my part. And then I just kind of decided, I'm just going to go for an assassination. It was probably the right move anyway, because we did the math, and Durgan was camping 5, and he, I got Siege's feet. I got two shots from Siege on him, and I had Jake's POW 12 and a POW 14 from Epic Alexia, and it was obviously my feet turn, and I went for an assassination, and I just did about like 7 or 8 points of damage instead of it's close, but it was about a coin flip to actually kill him, which I guess I'll take.
So was he on full health?
He was on full health.
He hadn't any damage to him.
He had not had any damage to him until I had put in some. But it was like the feet shot. My first feet shot just did. I rolled 3-1-1. So, and that was straight dice damage. So that could have been huge. But it's whatever. It's not a big deal. Dan Salmon's also a great opponent. I actually really enjoy playing against him. I hope I did not give him a bad experience for me kind of going on tilt. And I don't think it was as bad as I feel like it was because in my head I was exploding.
I don't think anybody saw you actually explode while you were there.
Yeah.
We didn't hear you screaming across the game room or anything like that.
No, I didn't do anything crazy. I was
trying to have a good time.
We'll get into the Earthbreaker conversation another day.
Okay.
That was my day, and then I played another round.
What did you go record wise?
I went 1-2 because I dropped after round.
You dropped after three
because we went. It was an epic Haley versus epic Haley, and it was just a grind fest.
Oh, I remember coming over. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, we're playing Haley versus Haley. I'm like,
and it was
almost as bad as McBain versus McBain. I'm out.
It was. I got 4 control points and death clocked myself.
Whee!
Yep, leaving a storm or the Centurion 1 Stormblade and Haley alive.
Sounds good.
Yep, so that was my day.
Play faster.
Yeah, that is true.
Play faster.
I need, it's kind of the weird thing about Epic Haley is because I don't play with her on time very much, and I think she's a caster you have to be able to play fast.
Yep.
Just because, the clock turns back to you when you're deciding what next needs to activate, and then, so there's a lot of movement with the clock, and, yep.
Particularly in that format, I know when I play back home, we always just find ourselves always playing one of the two to time variants, generally just death clock. And you just get in the habit of playing. It doesn't matter what list or what you're doing. Just playing. So you just get an idea about,
I got how long things are taking. Clock more. Yeah. I really
you just play.
I liked this. I liked the format. This is the first time me playing in a tournament that had death clock. Most time for me it was all timers. And everything else I've played in has been timers. So I'm used to having, this is my set time, and I ran out of it. Okay, go ahead. But I'm going to have that fresh, new next round. And I was just like, I'm running off this one. And I'll get to my report and where it kind of screws me over because of my lack of experience on it. But, it's definitely something I want to buy my own chess clock and practice playing at, even 50 minutes just so that when we do a 60, it's like, I have 10 minutes left. Fantastic.
You got an Android phone there?
I do.
You have a chess clock.
But it's running my war room.
Yeah, it's actually
just get the War Machine Horde's Army Creator. It has a death clock built in.
Fair enough.
While it's also doing your war room.
Whack.
The whack.
Well, I actually really like the idea of practicing on time, and I don't think we do that enough.
Nope. Not at all.
So I think I'm going to begin to do that because it was such a huge leap going from Scorn to Signar to where I'm playing maybe one heavy with Signar and then a lot of infantry, and then it's just something I'm not used to. And also guns.
Definitely. Your Siege list probably run pretty well in the death clock, doesn't it?
Siege list is not a problem.
The MSU is just like, here you go.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Move, China.
Haley is the problem.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But yeah. One thing I'd definitely recommend is certainly playing with the clock.
Playing with something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the good thing is in our environment too, how we play with a group of people, it's always good just to keep the pace moving a little bit.
Because we're just watching this game for 4 hours, nothing's happening.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I just think, I don't know, I just think it's just good habit to play.
Absolutely.
Very good habit to play. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, Fox, how was your day?
It was a lot of fun. I was super tired.
What were you playing?
I was playing Krix.
Sorry.
No.
I was playing War Machine.
No.
Okay.
I was playing Gorshade 3 and Pete Denny. My first round opponent was Cray. He's from Omaha, right?
He's from Omaha.
Okay, cool. He only had Cray written on the sheet, so I don't know his whole name. I assume it's like Cher. Anyways, he was playing Convergence. I don't remember his other list, but the one he brought against me was Axis's tier. I don't know what level of tier it was, but it had 4 Enigma Foundries in it.
Yeah, that's a super interesting list, actually.
Yeah.
So just quickly, as obviously being a Christian fighter as well, how do you go against that? Well, obviously, I just take the idea about those Enigma Foundries. What do you suggest about that?
Well,
did you kill any during your game?
Oh my gosh! Any Enigma Foundries?
Yes.
I did not kill any Enigma Foundries.
That's what I was asking.
Was this against Kratos?
But yeah, yeah.
I played against it too.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
I can share some insights.
Yeah. I dropped Gorshade 3. I don't know if it was better to play Piedeni. It was a really janky Piedeni list with like a Kraken and one unit, Boomhallers, and then two Pistol Wraiths and two Orb Sirens and some Arc Nodes. But I ended up taking Gorshade 3, and actually, I deployed evenly with Soul Hunters on my right side, I think, and then Bane Riders on my left. Eventually, the left side disappeared, I think. Yeah, left side disappeared.
So your Soul Hunters disappeared?
No.
Or the flag.
My Soul Hunters were on the right side.
Gotcha.
So they had that flag. But,
oh, so that flag disappeared, not your actual flank of army.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to think of, like, what happened to them? How did they evaporate?
Yeah. So, eventually, after the flag disappeared, my Soul Hunters jammed, my Riders jammed. My Soul Hunters, like, started taking all of his Enigma Foundry souls, which was actually pretty sweet.
Cool.
Eventually, I just moved Gorshade 3 over to the far flag, and my Bane Thralls were just jamming the middle. My Bile Thralls actually did a crap load of work that game. And, yeah, eventually I just got Gorshade over to the far flag and won on scenario, sort of. I got 4 points, and then he ended up clocking himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah, I think definitely that, you know, using that tech of stealing the souls as opposed to, you know, that denial is definitely one thing that I've definitely thought about.
Yeah. It was actually pretty sweet. He definitely noticed that. I didn't notice that as much because I was just focusing on the game and wasn't really paying attention. But
you were stealing souls away from the Enigma Foundry?
Yeah, I was just like,
do they take they take souls?
No, they take souls.
Oh,
souls.
Well, that's even better.
So like while I was taking,
doesn't produce corpses. They're not living.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
So in that game, I was just like, all right, like I pretty much like was set on scenario like on turn like. I don't know. It was probably the end of his turn when the flag disappeared.
Sure.
But, so I just ended up jamming everything, and, yeah.
Cool.
It was interesting. I mean, holy crap, if I played against that list, like, with something else, I don't know.
You might have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Something that didn't take the souls away from the Enigma Foundries, where the recursion just would have been unstoppable, almost. Did he have a lot of medium-based infantry, multi-wound?
No, you can't take any.
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't.
Oh, and tier?
So, Theme Force.
Is his Theme Force like just a bunch of the spray guys?
Obstructors and Reductors.
Reductors, yeah.
Okay, I don't know their names. I know spray guys.
The Reductors are the spray guys. The Obstructors are the freaking flail guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many units?
5?
There are a lot of units.
What?
Oh, I think it's 3 full units of Obstructors and 2 min units of Reductors.
It was
and
something.
4 bananas. Enigma Foundries.
Four Enigma Foundries. One Dongolator and one.
The Shield Guard.
Yeah,
dude.
Shield
yeah.
Hands.
Yep. Mm.
So how do you like that as a Crix answer?
It works like it's interesting. I was thinking about this and I was talking about it a little bit with Cray and some other people. I think Convergence suffers from, they have a lot of different Crix answers that answer some kinds of Crix, but there are different kinds of Crix out there. So you take this Axis Theme Force and, like, Peace Gar wouldn't have a prayer. Like, she would just get jammed up and lose eventually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I think Lich could probably get through it just because of the clouds. Although the recursion might end up catching up with him. So it might be a decent Lich answer, too. It didn't work particularly well against my Denny list because my guns reached so far that I was just able to take out full units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't after the Enigma Foundries. I would just take all 10 members of the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so who's your Foundry bringing you back to?
Yeah. So the Foundries were, like, at max the whole game, but they could only ever bring back, like, one turn, like, 2 angels got resurrected, and I think that was about it.
Yeah, the scenario actually sort of worked in my favor that game, because the Soul Hunters had that far flag.
Right.
And, yeah.
But I think, ultimately, the best answer for Convergence in Crix is going to be some combination of soul stealing like that. The Soul Hunters ripping him out, and There's a couple other things that can do it.
Deathjack?
Deathjack.
Yeah, well, it's funny, we're talking before things
Wither
like
Shadow Count.
Yeah, and the old Harrier and stuff that kind of thing.
Pistol Wraith?
Pistol Wraith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I thought it was. Yeah.
They just have to be closer than the Enigma Foundry is, so they can take
Pistol
it.
Pistol Wraith? Do, yes. That's
yeah, right. Yeah.
The Wither Shadow Combine does not.
Yeah. So
they just get it all the time.
Yeah, anything with Dark Fire just ridicules that. So, Ilos as well, if you're going to use them. Scarlet Commanders as well. You know, they all on the same premise.
Oh, yeah, that's actually something Asphyxius can do, is he can just get up in the business and drop Darylus down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And eat all the souls on his pie plate there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you're looking at that, rather than, because I know I was racking my brain about how do you get back there and kill him. And then, you know, I just thought about, well, don't have to worry about killing him, just make sure they don't get any souls. So then just play that soul game.
Do they have magical weapons in that list?
How much magical weapon is there in Convergence?
Anything that gets touched by the Optifex directives can be magical.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think they have Optifex in that list.
In that list. I was just curious from the faction as a whole.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah. I know they...
Pretty much every Warjack has the option for magical weapons on it, if they need it.
Gotcha.
Because, like, Lucant always brings Optifex. Directrix always brings Optifex.
Right.
Yeah, so that sounds like a really interesting matchup. I know Axis's Feet was pretty good against melee army, so...
Yep.
Cool. Any other interesting games, or how did you do the whole day?
I went 2-2. One of my games was against the Butcher Doom Reaver spam. That was a really weird game. But one of my other losses, I lost to that. And then one of my other losses was against Epic Morvana. And I went for an assassination that I thought I had, and I probably did. But for some reason, I just forgot to boost damage on my last attack, and I needed 10s to kill her. So I just forgot to boost, yeah.
Gotcha. Were you trying to make a second attack there, or one last attack?
Yeah, she was at 7 boxes, and I had 3 focus, so I just siphon bolt and then boost damage, but I just, yeah.
Gotcha.
Spaced it, I guess.
What did you play against the Butcher spam by the chance? Did you play your Morvana? Or your
I played Gorshi 3 again.
Yeah, Gorshi 3. Yeah. Yeah.
I was pretty much set on playing that list for quite a while.
As long as you could.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
All right,
so over to you, Lance.
All right.
AKA the Bane Slayer.
As Tom Guan has dubbed me on both Facebook and
I can raid your fridge.
What?
I can raid your fridge.
Sure.
For beverage. Carry on.
Yeah. I know you're bored with battle reports. It's fine.
Thirsty.
You want one? Yeah, I get him one too. That's fine. Okay, so I came into this tournament... I don't know how many other people out here have had this exact problem, but I talked with Fox a little bit before we sat down. I had zero idea what I wanted to play in this tournament.
Yeah,
all week I was busy at work and stuff. I'm just like, oh, this tournament's coming up. I got to get ready for a list. I got to think about something.
I was in the exact same boat, and I usually find myself in that exact same for like every
tournament. I have an idea. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm going to do this. This is going to be fantastic. This was the first time I've actually had like writer's block for War Machine lists pre-tournament. So it was weird.
So was it the morning of the event where you finally decided? Or,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Or it wasn't like 2 a.m., you know, you get up and...
I just want to point out, I just had this like as you said, you were... thinking about lists at work and stuff like that, and you're like a lawyer.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, I just had this like crazy idea of like Lance like in a courtroom and just being like, I'm playing Old Witch.
And everybody's turned to look at me like, what?
Yeah.
I work in a corporate culture, so it would be in like it's exactly that same thing, but with like cubicles.
That's kind of
that situation. Yeah. And it's kind of.
I mean, it's sweeter.
It wasn't that because I did it on Saturday morning because I came in at 9 to help him set up tables, and of course John Damaris wasn't there, but he was supposed to be there, and so we were setting up tables, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm gonna play, and then Brian Finkin comes up to me, talks to me, he's like, what are you gonna play? I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna play yet. So it wasn't until we were like driving around, I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to do this. I kind of had like 4 lists I was bouncing around in my head. And the lists I ended up with were 2 different casters I felt could cover each other's matchups pretty well. The first one was an Irisk 2 list because Jamie Perkins and I have been dojoing Irisk 2 for like 3 weeks. And we had some ideas going back and forth as to what we thought would be good. So I came up with a list for that. And then on the Kador forums, Privateer Press forums, there was an Old Witch thread going that is actually one of the best threads I think I've ever seen on the Privateer Press board. It's, but a bunch of people came together and just talked about how they played Old Witch, and it was, everybody was different. Everybody was doing something unusual and weird, and it was mm-hmm. great because it was, you get to see all these different metas and stuff, and I ended up taking a cue from, the guy's name is Smelly Terror, but I think he's from Australia. He knows, Trent Dennison. I don't know who the guy is, what his real name is. I just know that's what his forum name is. And so he had said, like, all right, he's like, Old Witch, you generally want to do this against, of Krix for the most part. So, what I would recommend doing against most Krix, at least with the popular Krix build matchups, is to, throw a lot of stealth out there because they have a little difficulty getting stealth and running things on extreme flanks. And so he put up this list of just a ton of models that were stealth to just overload everything with stealth. And I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. So he built this list. He gave me this, or he gave a list on the forums of what he thought was awesome. And there was a bunch of souls in it that I didn't particularly like, and I really wanted Ion and Holt in the list. So I made some modifications, and this is the list that I ended up coming up with. It was Old Witch with Scrapjack, of course, Behemoth. That's it for the battle group. Iron Fang Pikeman with Black Dragon UA, Iron Fang Kovnik to run with them. Max Chaos the Assassins, which I know have not seen the table in a very long time. Yeah, Fox Lance, commented that. He's like, is that Chaos the Assassins on your tray? I'm like, yeah. He's like, they're dead already, yeah, to blast dead. Damage. You just, like, brought them out of your bag and they're mm-hmm. dead. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to play these guys. They're going to be fantastic. So then with the Underboss, two units of Chaos the Eliminators, Grey Lord Tiernan for the Clouds for Old Witch, and actually it ended up working well for Kel, too, to throw because of his prowl situation. Lidiana, Master Holt, Widowmaker Marksman, and Kel Baelok. And that's just a ton of actual stealth. The only things that aren't stealth in that list, generally speaking, are all the Iron Fangs, Behemoth, and the Tiernan, essentially.
And the Kovnik.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all the Iron Fangs are part of that, yeah. But, I mean, everything else in that list is stealth. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to try this. I think this is going to be interesting. So I kind of sat down. The first game I played against was a guy by the name of Max. He's from Kansas City, and he was playing a P. Denny list. 30 Bane Knights, a couple of Bone Chickens, a Pistol Wraith. I can't even remember what else was on it. But like everybody else said, we were doing Incursion. And oh, he had Nyss Hunters on there as well. So what I ended up doing is I'm just like, well, everything's stealth, so I'm not terribly worried about the Nyss until they engage. So I'd rather them be in the backfield and not being involved in this game at all. So it's just like, Max Chaos the Assassins over here on the way right, and they just ran the flank, deep flank on the right, and just ran towards the Nyss Hunters. I put Wield Secrets on them to give them Pathfinder and just upkept it most of the game because there was a forest over for them to deal with. So basically every game I just kept looking around like, where's the forest at? That's the side the Chaos the Assassins are on. They're going to be Wield Secreted and they're going to run an extreme flank. And that's the way it happened every game. It was either to the left, it was to the right, and they were just Pathfindering through things. Even if they weren't able to charge stuff, they were just running to engage stuff because Banes on a way outside flank were having trouble hitting them at Mat 5 and Mat 6. And they were doing just fine hitting at Mat 9, POW 12s, forcing all sorts of tough checks, you know, doing their kill stroke to charge over to kill two axes, try to get to their standard bearer, whatever it ended up happening being. And if they wanted to bring Tartarus over there to get a curse on them, that's fine. They just put them up to 8s, which still need 8s to hit me, which wasn't happening that often. Yeah, it just ended up working well all day long. And then the Chaos the Eliminators would either be with them if they needed to, or they'd be kind of hanging out in the middle, unengaging the snipers and the things that were happening in the center. So, yeah, I just kept winning. I kept running up against Krix. I just kept winning. Well, I did it for the two rounds anyway. Mm-hmm. So first game was against Max, KC, P. Denny, played Incursion, and I won on scenario for that one. Scrapjack with Avatar of Slaughter kills Bane Knights like it's his job. It's ridiculous.
Wait, does he have sidestep or something like that?
He gets it with Avatar of Slaughter.
Okay.
He gets a 1-inch move after he kills something. Okay. He has two talons with reach. He gets to charge. He gets to go up to Mat 8, POW 12 on his talon.
Yeah.
He gets to berserk, basically. Berserk and overtake. So he gets to move an inch, and he gets to keep attacking with that same weapon. So
legit.
for like two focus, he just kind of murders an entire Bane Knight unit.
Yeah.
So that happened one time. He's just like, oh God, okay. And then this other Bane Knight unit went over to the other flag, and while I was contesting it with some Chaos the Assassins, and I'm like, all right, well, Scrapjack's gonna go that way now. And he just surfed through all of those, killing all of those. And he got a certain distance in, or I ran out of focus, whatever it is. And I'm like, all right, come back here, Scrapjack. And then he's bringing him back to me, and he's just like, oh, Unseen Path, oh God. And so that ended up happening. A couple rounds. So again, I beat him on the Incursion on that one. The next round I played Craig from Chicago He was playing a Gorshade 2 tier list, the one that allows him to take multiple UAs for Bane Thralls. And then, of course, Gorshade 2, if you're killing stuff in his control area, he gets to bank more Banes. Mm-hmm. That happened a couple of times. But I, again, had the Kaiozzi on a way left flank, and it was just outside of his control area, so he wasn't making Banes when he managed to get lucky enough to hit me.
Yeah.
And then he had the little scrap thralls to feet on, but he was trying to use them to run in and blow up. Yeah. But then he ended up killing like one Kaiozzi assassin and then two or three Bane thralls. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. That's that's a good trade. I'm happy with those. So that ended up happening on that list, and I ended up winning that game too. The third game I played was under the Learn to War game camera, and that was with Dan from Madison.
L2 War Game.
Whatever. Those guys. Check out their website. They have neat battle reports. And you will see my game. I was playing against Dan from Madison. He was playing Gorsh, or you know, not Gorsh 8. He was playing a Lich 2. Pretty standard. Had Satixis Raiders. Had Blood Witches. Had Bane Knights on one side. Bane Thralls on the other side. He had a Leviathan in the list, along with one Bone Chicken, which I felt was a little unusual. I think the Bone Chicken, again, was meant to be, you know, Rack Marker. He probably was just taking the Keith's tech, as usual. But he was running it to try to do stuff.
Excarnate, too. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's all right. Like, you know, if you and have Excarnate.
Yes, all of that. And it ended up being to where the Kaiozzi Assassins were way to the left, deep in the line, and then my Black Dragons were on the way right, and so the Bane Thralls, or the Bane Knights were trying to deal with those, the Bane Thralls were trying to deal with Kaiozzi Assassins, and he didn't know where to put clouds. Like, he could put two over here and kind of one in this direction, so he couldn't really unify them into anything. And, again, we were playing on 55-minute death clock. This is, as I mentioned earlier, my first death clock tournament. So I was just taking a lot of time, and we ended up kind of grinding the list out. We were playing the scenario with the big circle and then the flag and then the two objectives. I forget which one that is.
Into the breach.
I was under the impression that he had to kill my objective before he could start controlling the flag.
Nerp.
But that's, yes, that's absolutely true. So, future knowledge, make sure you guys know that that's a possibility. You can't just hold him to that. I thought it was something that is in his control area would stop him from doing that. But he was able to just like, well, I'm out of things to kill you with. So after he feeded and killed Behemoth like normal, and even though Behemoth got a lot of work done, so I was happy. He killed a Leviathan, put a bunch of damage on the Arc Node, so he definitely earned his points back. But he just teleported to the flag. I ended up going deep into the tank, which you guys have talked about before, and I'm just like, I don't think I've ever had that situation.
You're
going
to drown.
Yes, I did. I went deep into the tank going like, well, maybe I can find a way to kill. Maybe I can kill him in melee. No, it's I could do that. And I'm like, so I put one on Scrapjack, and then I left everything else on Old Witch. And I'm just like, I can run Scrapjack over there, and then I could teleport her within 2 inches, and then she can just melee him to death. How many focuses he's hitting on? Oh, okay. I'm like, well, your objective's over there, and it's got like very little damage on it. I can maybe get some things over there to kill your objective. Yeah, let's start doing that. So I started killing his objective after I took like 3 sniper shots at Lich for no reason whatsoever, and then I brought it down to like 2 damage. I'm just like, Oh man, I can almost kill the objective. Why did I waste the sniper shots on Lich? And then I immediately went in my head, I'm like, wait, I can go gallows it. Beep, 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 beep. Like, I was very easily just could have run Scrapjack up. He could have gallowsed it. She could have teleported to him, and then it just could have passed the clock. And I would have just sat there going, well, I get 3 points. I killed that. I get 2 in this zone, which is all mine. You can get another one. I'm fine with that. And then, then we'll play this game out. And he did like, and he had a little Helldiver Burrower guy that was going to pop up. He's like, well, I'm going to have to get that. You took out the movement on the arc node, so I couldn't run it into the zone. So, yeah, that's all I would have been able to do was just run at you, and then you would have been able to kill that in, like, 5 seconds, and you would have won.
Yeah.
So you can see that video. You can see the way the game played out. I think this list is amazing versus Crix, even though I failed on that one game. I just really like this list. I'm going to tweak this one like crazy and play it like crazy. This is my new anchor list for my tournament scene.
Sweet.
I think it's Old Witch and Butcher 3 is going to be my pairing.
Couple of questions for you. So yep. If you're dropping Wild Secrets on the Kaiozzi Assassins,
yep,
what's your target for Iron Flesh?
It'll bounce back and forth. It'll go to Iron Fangs as necessary because Def 16, Arm 22 is a thing. It will occasionally go on her when I feel like she might be assassinated. Though more often than not, I was just hiding behind, as in clouds and behind walls. So it wasn't necessarily a big deal. Near the end there, I was just using that extra focus to kind of fuel Scrapjack, really. Mm-hmm. To let Scrapjack do a ton of ton of work. Like, you know, they would jam up the Iron Fangs. Iron Fangs wouldn't really, they wouldn't hit very many or kill just a few of them. Then Scrapjack would run past them on the sides, kill a bunch of things, teleport back, and then they would just move forward. And it kind of worked that way as a scenario piece. It's just like, well, here, we're just going to keep going until we get deep enough to do something under the Shield March Order and things like that. This list doesn't have Iris 2, and that would be in the Butcher list for dropping off things like Blur and Iron Flesh itself or Arcane Shield for when Butcher does his charge thing. So I kind of worry about getting these guys Crippling Grasped at some point. I'm sure that's going to happen. But I want to make it so that the game ends up turning out to be they're trying to deal with those guys, the assassins off to the side, the eliminators are in the middle. There's enough other threats out there that they won't maybe bother keeping it up or late game it won't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm sure this list has a ton of bad Crix matchups. It's not 100% good. It's just really good against a lot of the common stuff you see out there.
That's right. And regardless of that, you're having fun and you're
playing. Oh, I was having a blast. I mean, especially coming into the idea, it's like, okay, these are lists I've never played before. I had no idea what I was going to play until 9 a.m. that morning. I'm just going to go in. I kind of talked to Fox. I'm like, listen, I'm just going to go in and have a blast today. I don't even care if I win. And then winning those two games in a row and almost winning that third game under video just made the day for me. Yeah, I ended up losing the next two games that I played because I played my Irisk 2 list against Signar and then against a Butcher 3 list. The Irisk 2 list, for the most part, was garbage, and I'm not going to worry about
The other big thing, too, being a Crix player, is that obviously you didn't talk much about when you used your feet. So that is a massive kick in the...
Oh, man, the feet was just... Yeah, it's just like, well, there's... I'm on this flank, and I'm on this flank. The middle of the field is wide open, and I'm just going to feet so you can't come anywhere near me.
Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah, it was so great against Satixis Raiders. It was great against the Blood Witches. And I loved when they had living models there, because he kept jamming the living models forward. And then I'm like, well, I think I can get Avatar of Slaughter on Old Witch. And she'd go up and go, kill, 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 kill. Teleport back, and I'm like, I'm on three souls, so I'm having 10 focus ten next point. Round. Yeah. Seems like a good idea. It's so rare that that's the first time, I think, ever getting souls on Old Witch was during that game when he had some Blood Witches and Satixis Raiders up front.
Particularly against the Crix matchup, because that's generally you see something
you're never going to see that.
But that's something that you see them doing to you, and then they basically spin it around.
Yeah, you turn around, it's like, I'll take these souls.
Teleport back.
It's like, whoa. I'll see you later. Yeah, I mean, Old Witch plays this weird hybrid circle Crix game that Kador does not have in its repertoire at all. And then it's just the rest of the units going, well, we're self-sufficient and can do a ton of stuff, so I guess we'll just let her do whatever she wants. And yeah, every game was just the middle of the field was just wide open. Everybody was running to one side or the other to deal with all of the threats that were over there, and the middle was just, you know, it was Kel Balok and the marksman kind of walking around going, what can we shoot today?
And
how about
Bang! And tumbleweeds,
Bang!
Too.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Tumbleweeds roll by, and then just Behemoth walking behind him is like, what should I shoot at, boss? He's like, eh. Anything, whatever. That arc node looks good. He's like, sweet, aim, boom. You know, boost shots, hitting things. It was, it's just an incredibly, incredibly fun list. I recommend all the Kator players out there try it. Just see if it works for you. Maybe I got lucky and just ran into the good matchups for it, but I love this list to death.
I mean, that's like, that's really good for
And then every game, you know, Tom Guan finishes at the top of two every game, and he was walking around, you know, 10 minutes after we would start. And he'd just be like, oh, you're playing the Old Witch list again. How many Banes are you going to kill this game? Because the first game, it was 30 Bane Knights. Second game was 30 Banes between Thralls and Knights, including the recursion mechanic. And then the last game was Bane Knights and Bane Thralls. And again, I wiped almost all of them off the table. So it was roughly around 100 to 110 Banes that I killed in the first three games.
Yep.
Hence the nickname Bane Slayer.
Nice job.
So, again, after Dan, I played Ty from Arkansas. He was playing a Siege list, and he crushed my Irisk 2 list pretty badly because it was an armor skew, and he's just like, I don't care. Kill Irisk. And then the last one was against John Burkett. We were super tired, and it was the funnest game because we were just both, like, punch drunk, just like, whatever. He's just, <"Brr." laughs> and we were just playing, and he's just like, oh, my God, you're going to kill me. How many damage did your battle-lusted Great Bears do against my Colossal? Holy crap, I can't believe they did that much damage. I'm like, have you never played Irisk 2 before? He's like, no, that guy's amazing. And so, we just had a great game going back and forth between the two of them, even though it was just the game that would not end. We just kept grinding away at it. It was really neat attrition battles, but that's who I played the whole day. Again, I went 2-3 total, with the last three games being losses, but those first two and that third game were just so much fun. I had an absolute blast at the time.
I do want to point out, John is the worst tournament organizer ever. Because he wouldn't let me and Keith faction swap mid-tournament. That was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
You guys were both that just in frame.
I was just going to take over Colin's record. We had both at the
same
record.
We were both 1-1 at the time.
Sure.
We were just going to go pilot each other's.
Yeah.
Didn't see
why wouldn't he let you do that?
Into the dock. Bring into the dock.
It just doesn't make any sense to me why he wouldn't let us do that.
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to play
Halo
2.
Because this is not Crumb's totally legit tournament where you can just trade armies mid-game.
And then later on in the day, I had dropped after round 3. And then Nigel talked me into getting back into the tournament. I was like, oh, well, that sounds like fun. I want to get back in. John, let me in. And then John wouldn't let me do it.
Like, no dice. No dice.
He's a terrible tournament. Crump would have let us do that. I just don't feel like playing
Crump's
this round.
Totally legit tournament.
Like,
he'd be like, I don't know what to do here. It's like, here, let me do it. And then just shove you out of the way and just start playing your armor in the middle of the game.
Because like nobody had a bye that round. So he could have just been like, oh, Colin had the bye.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't do that. It was stupid.
I know Andy and Guy just play a pickup game because they finish so early. They're just like, I want to see what Hex on Texlist does. Okay. And they just ran over and played a pickup game in the middle of a round.
Yep.
So it was fun.
It was a really fun tournament. Yep. A lot of sweet people showed up.
Yes.
It was a 43-person tournament.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it was 43.
Yep. Yeah.
Mayhem had actually made room. Like, Mayhem's awesome. And, like, Brent figured out the best way to organize the tables to get as much room as possible.
Yes. And we were not ass to ass like I thought we were going to be.
Almost had room for 60, so, like, almost everybody on the wait list would have gotten in. But not everybody showed up anyway. So, it was a super sweet tournament. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to do another one here.
And congratulations to Tom Guan for qualifying.
Tom Guan qualified. Jason Knack won the whole thing, but since he was qualified, so he...
Jordan. His name's Jordan.
Jordan Knack.
Yeah, it's Jordan.
Dang it. Jordan. I don't know why.
Jordan Knack. Yeah, technically won the tournament, but he already qualified at Adepticon, and Tom Guan got second. And they didn't even play each other. They just didn't even ship Captain Crew. He just scooped.
Yep.
He's like, well, I'm going to just get it. Let's go.
I was like, no, I qualify. It's fine.
Because it was top table. So.
Yes, it was top table. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, we're going to move into What Does the Fox Say?
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
All right, that was What Does the Fox Say?
I thought we were making this a legitimate segment.
Yeah, maybe some other day. Not
that was a legitimate segment.
I'm not feeling the legitimacy yet.
No, there's none.
Turning that into
that's
a real
why
thing.
There's. That's right. Why we're feeling it.
All right.
What do we got?
We're going to go into Mad Dojo. It's going to be truly not that insane, actually.
No.
Dojo? I got some dojo.
Oh, okay.
My dojo is actually... came from Craig Conroy through Tom Guan. So
this is Dojo, a.k.a. just straight stealing someone's list.
Yeah.
And talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's a goofy enough list for us that we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave it to you specifically? Like, Craig wanted you to have it?
No. Well, no.
He doesn't know
that I have it.
He does now.
I mean...
Wait, Craig Conroy doesn't listen to this podcast. What am I talking about?
Nah.
Keep going. Roll on. Wait, whatever you know.
But, so Tom basically, kept pulling my leg all weekend to play this list. And it's B. Haley with a Squire Stormwall. And then there's a Junior, a Gaston with the Galleon. I have two Tinkers, Dougal, Ragman, and the Black 13th. It's legit.
I think Keith has a list similar to this, don't you?
Yep. Keith is also getting into this list.
No, he had it before. I saw it on Sunday before today.
Well, yeah, I know. It's been around.
Oh,
it's not
around.
The exact same list, no. Okay. Okay. There's little subtle tweaks.
Cool. So, I'm assuming the terminal or the temporal barrier, isn't it?
Temporal barrier.
Yeah. So, just you can't charge my Colossals. Can you handle them just in straight
combat?
Also,
the -2 defense is just huge with a Galleon.
And they both get Arcane Shield.
Right.
They're both on 22.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's
not friendly faction. It's just friendly.
It's just friendly.
That's a lot to get through.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Temporal Barrier, because it's boring as hell to play against. Anyways.
I have fun playing.
Oh no, yeah, no, I'm not.
You shouldn't have fun. Is not out of bed.
Not asking you.
So I got to charge outside of 16 inches, essentially.
You got to charge outside of 16 inches.
Usually, it's a lot less because of where Haley usually ends up behind one of the colossals. Walls.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. Yeah, so it might be 11.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get to 11.
Well, yeah, 11.
I can get to 11.
Well, I can get to 11.
It depends if they're bison she's...
Check this out.
It depends if the colossals are bison she's nestled in the nice little spot between them.
Mm.
It also... Usually what happens is Haley will just move to a position to catch what she wants to catch.
Right.
Yep.
And then the colossals will move accordingly.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things where you got to kind of catch... Like, so I played one game with this list, or with a slight different variation of this list.
Mm-hmm.
I played against Aaron last night, actually.
Oh, man.
How did that go, man?
All night long.
Not good. This list, I don't...
It's not even Dojo when you've played it and then lost horribly with it.
Not good.
I don't... Like, it was...
My ass still hurts.
It was a situation of, like... This list doesn't want to see Overrun.
Okay, who were you playing? Or Outflank. More number?
It was Outflank. It was Outflank.
Yeah, Outflank.
He's talking about the scenario, Outflank. The SR-2040 Outflank, the two large circles. So, it obviously was a bit of a slight issue during the game.
Yeah, it's hard for this list to cover that much area, and especially when you can dominate either zone. So Gorshe just kind of goes to the opposite zone that I can't quite cover too well.
Sure.
So and he also got to go first.
So first.
He got to put a lot of pressure on me early.
Yep.
And he just got to jam me out of zones.
Yep, that was with the Soul Hunters and Bane Raiders.
Correct.
Yeah, they go super far.
Yeah, so basically looking with his pre-deployment, Colin basically was kind of a little off-center. And so then I just stacked a majority of the large bases on in front of those two Colossals.
Sure.
With a plan, my plan was going to... effectively try to jam him out of one of the zones.
Sure.
Gorshe just ran over to the other. There happened to be a hill there, and I just camped on the hill. And then we just basically just played a race to five control points.
Did it take you a lot to kill the large bases that were in front of you? Or what was the problem,
I mean, there I was... It didn't take a lot to kill them. It just... There was one horse... I needed to kill all those horses because they can go incorporeal.
Right.
And then they can just walk through and get to whatever they want to.
Sure.
Because I'm not... like filled with a bunch of magical weapons, so because colossals, my 40 points of my army don't have magical weapons.
Yeah,
Haley does. Junior Warcaster does. Gaston does, right?
True, but the thing also been that
did you have Ion on Holt?
No.
The thing is that he obviously wanted to protect Gaston because he's running the galleon. So if you can kill the 3-point model, you can take out the 20.
Did you get him? Did you get him killed?
He did. So what happened was he had moved up Derek Wraith, and on my previous turn, I failed to kill one of the horses. I left it at one box, and I'd killed all the rest of the light calf, and then he'd moved up Derek Wraith, so that way that one horse was incorporeal, and then he just walked through my galleon and killed Gaston.
Gotcha.
And Gaston had to move up to try and clear off the Stormwall, so that way Stormwall could try and kill the other horse, and it was just...
Have occultation on your caster?
Nope.
I had occultation on Deathjack.
Deathjack. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Initially, so he was cruising around. Obviously, Deathjack and Gorshe moved over to the zone, which I was obviously trying to win. And my plan was to keep Deathjack up my sleeve, use him as a bit of a 12-point sacrifice. But if it came down to just a points race, then essentially I was just going to run Deathjack straight at one of those Colossals and say, again, you've got to kill me before you can get in the zone. Because it actually worked quite well, because the galleon became a block for the Stormwall. So obviously, as long as I could keep the galleon under control, that kept the Stormwall under control. And with his so small model count, all my infantry, they were just always going to be on a one-way ticket. It was just a matter of just keeping him out of the zone.
Yep.
And I was just able to do that.
Yeah.
So your downsides to this list is that it can kind of be manhandled a little bit in terms of positioning.
It's what Nigel kind of helped me realize was I needed to be a lot more aggressive on turn one. I needed to basically deploy Haley on the front of my deployment line and then have her charge on turn one and pop temporal barrier.
Sure.
And I would have gotten almost everything I needed to.
Yeah.
And then I could have just run my two Colossals up because I would have been 19 inches up the board with Haley. And so 19 plus another 16. And I get a majority of the board. And then I just run my two Colossals up to almost the middle of the board.
Right.
They're actually just about an inch in front of Haley. So, and then if I do that...
So you
I
have them
actually,
screen her in the middle and then branch off into the two zones as necessary? Yeah,
the thing that kind of kept me from seeing that was there was a kind of a forest in the middle of my table.
Sure.
Kind of towards my deployment zone. So it was just... It was hard for me to realize how I needed to actually move through to contest this scenario, and that forest kind of made me think that I couldn't charge Haley through that forest because I would just lose so much speed. But yeah, I mean it's a really interesting list. I think it's extremely good. I think it's going to have its struggles in scenario and probably against Menoth because no shooting on their jacks is just gonna it's gonna really hamper this list.
I think, and also, I mean, in terms of we talk about how outflank is such a terrible matchup, you look at, you know, things like destruction or, you know, the other scenarios where there's just a single zone, I think that they just come into their own because it's such a nightmare because they can, so it is, I think, very dependent upon your scenario and obviously, you know, your ability to identify that. Obviously, we just played a one-off game, but you're playing in a tournament and you get that flexibility to say, hey, this is two zones or this is one zone and, you know, I can capitalize on this and put there. Because I think, I mean, again, one of the linchpins I see is obviously protecting Gaston. You know, obviously from a magical point of view, which we discovered, well, I was trying to assassinate him with magic, but obviously is it arcane?
It's arcane vortex.
So she's got arcane vortex, which is a good ability. But again, I think something nice, Colin, that you can talk about is obviously when you did your
the turn one.
Yes.
So my turn one, I had he ran up his light cav, so I actually have a super huge threat range with the Galleon's drag. Because it goes up to a 14-inch with Fire Group and then Dougal's Mini Feet.
Sure.
So on turn one, I actually got to advance with the Galleon and then, harpoon drag and I dead-eyed it. So that way I could, boost to hit.
Sure.
And I have four dice to hit.
Sure.
And then pulled in one of the light cav horses and then just killed it. And then, my two little guns are range 18.
Sure.
And so I get to just start shooting infantry off the board on that turn one. So that was my plan. But that because I did that, it just again it was scenario problem.
Right.
But after thinking about it, Nigel actually thinks this is a pretty legit hardcore scenario or hardcore list. So I think that's what I'm going to try to do: play this list in hardcores.
Yeah, so, 50 point hardcore.
Sure. I mean, I would certainly. You know, continue to explore it on all fronts. I just think it comes down to, particularly from the opponent's point of view. I mean, I was very cognizant of the fact that of his drag. That's why I didn't put Infernal Machine on Deathjack. I put Occultation on him because the last thing I wanted was to get dragged. Yeah. But I was naive of the fact that he could get that 14-inch range.
Right.
So, but, you know, again, obviously in a perfect world for him, if he gets the first turn or he's playing against someone, you can obviously set that Galleon up. And if they don't have their positioning right, he can just snipe out one of the heavies and just take him straight off the board.
Take him right off.
So, yeah I think there's a lot of exploration space in that. And just in terms of, I don't think there's any issue with the list, just continue to play it.
Yeah.
And just
tweak it as you need to.
Again, obviously been a Crix player, seeing her is a real pain in the ass. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so. You just don't see P. Haley that often.
No.
Yeah, actually...
Good.
Actually, things like Occultation and Shadow Pack are the reason why the Black 13th are in the list. Because, he had Occultation on the Death Jack. I was able to Fire Beacon it.
Sure.
And then drag it in with the Galleon. Because
you're 9 against it, Death 13?
Yes. Yeah, and it's also... It was Haley's feet, so I had two chances.
No.
Or no, wait. That's not how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It is? You can fire two beacons.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But from that point of view...
It's just an ammo type for him.
Okay.
Also, did you have Temporal Barrier up?
Yeah.
So it was Def 11. Def
Jack. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you cannot fire two mage storms.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a star attack.
Star attack.
Yeah. You can fire a mage storm and then have her shoot a brutal damage.
Which is awesome.
Because it's not an initial, it's an additional attack.
Yeah. And then,
you just light two targets and she can just blow both of them off the table.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig Conroy made a super legit list. I don't think this is exactly his list, but it's just the basic archetype of Stormwall with P. Haley and a Galleon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wish Gaston worked for Kador.
Too bad.
Stop killing all the sweet people.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Wouldn't you love to have, what is it, Rupert?
Yes.
And Anastasia Debray?
Yes.
They'd be pretty good in Kador.
Surprisingly. Interesting. Doug Zekat, get on that.
Yeah.
Some sort of reparation thing should happen.
Reparation.
Oh, no.
They're now allowed in Kador.
Don't.
I'm in.
Oh, no.
Okay.
War reparations, it's fine.
I have more dojo.
What?
My second dojo is Siege, and he's awesome. And that...
That is the dojo.
That is the dojo. Yep. He is awesome.
Yeah, it's just Siege. That's all right. It.
Who's up? Keith, you look like you're working on a list.
I worked on a couple while I've been sitting here.
Do it.
Bored out of your mind.
This is, has to be the least you've ever talked on a podcast ever.
I was like, can I switch up Asphyxius? Like, is there something new you can do? Lich 2? I thought about a Kraken and then I decided against.
Also, I've already done that, so I mean, he doesn't have to do it. Right?
You don't want to copy
that Fox. Part covered is terrible. Don't do it. Next.
Next. It's kind of like doodling around with the idea of like Iacos and a Leviathan and just sort of Lich casting clouds to protect in sort of an MSU core with some pistol rays and whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think it's any good. Then I was looking at, I'm looking at Scar 2 because I'm just kind of like, where does Iacos go? Does Iacos have a place in this day and age? I like him in Peace Gar, I think. And I wanted
as like a super solo or
no, running two stalkers. I like stalkers for him because he has a 16-inch control area with stalkers.
Yeah.
So he can actually allocate. He makes them speed 9.
Yeah.
So they get places.
What is his battle group spell?
His battle group, he has two battle group spells. He's got Escort to speed him up.
And then one that gives him Grievous
Wings. And then Bringer, which gives him Grievous Wings, which they already have.
Yeah, okay.
But you know why, I think it works very well, because then you just don't have to worry about it. You know, so it's just a matter of just handing focus. And
I actually think Deathbringers is kind of a dead spell anyway, since he's got upkeep Escort, which he's almost always going to do. If he casts Deathbringers, it's two more. He's only got one focus left to allocate.
Yep.
It's not great, unless you're running the Deathjack on him.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And even then, Deathjack probably just wants the extra focus. And Deathjack then doesn't have any spells to cast.
So I was going
to
say, like, doesn't he just run his
He's kind of
spells?
A sad Deathjack.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like the idea of Stalkers with him. I haven't got the chance to try it out.
That's
pretty
sweet.
So I wanted a bit more of a ranged threat in this list, because that's what Peace Gar does kind of struggle. So I was thinking Kraken with her, because she makes...
Yeah, I know
she
a lot of people run Kraken with her.
Good use of it. I've seen it work to good effect. And then, so we've got a lot of points tied up in Warjacks, obviously, and we still want a good body count for Peace Gar, so just two maximum units of Mechanithralls with their attendant Scarlet Commanders and Necrosurgeons, and then a min unit of Blood Witches with the UA pretty much rounds it out.
So, like, are Scarlet Commanders almost a like an auto-include with those guys now?
They are pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I was thinking about Mechanithralls. I was like, I probably wouldn't run them nowadays without a Scarlet Commander.
Yeah. So do you actually think that Errata helped that? That unit... Errata?
No, not at all.
I think like, initially, just I'll talk more about it when I move into my dojo. But the thing I've noticed with that Scarlock Commander is if you can keep him alive, and obviously that's the key in terms of, I mean, there's obviously just the generic, I'm going to spread the command out by 8 points. But with the fact that he's got Battle Wizard and the fact that he takes souls and the fact that he's got Dark Fire, he can do so much work. You know,
yeah,
he
does.
You can effectively come in, charge him, take a soul, Battle Wizard, get another soul. Or use that first soul to boost hit, obviously Magic Ability 6, and like one of those, a lot of the soul taker guys, when you can get a soul, you can just snowball, because you can use that soul to continue to get souls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, pistol waste do so much work when they get a soul, because you just keep boost hitting, get the second soul boost hit, so on and so forth.
But they have to hit. I mean, they're at 7. They should probably hit. Oh,
true.
Wait.
True. But again, if you look at the statistics, obviously boosting is just...
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, sorry, just to cut in, I just think they scale. And for 1 point, I mean, like, yeah, in an offensive potential, those Scarlet Commanders can just do something.
That's a fair bit of work on his own, and I mostly love it for the command bubble, just because it gives me so much freedom.
Is Darkfire the soul snatching thing?
Yeah.
Which coven have?
Power 12, range 10, power 12.
The Wither Shadow.
Combine. Sorry.
So that's that list. It's not anything revolutionary. It's not anything super exciting. But those stalkers do create a bit of extra fear when you're playing against Peace Gar. It's like, oh dear lord, if I'm ever too close, if I'm within 12 inches of one of these stalkers,
right,
and she hasn't feeded yet, I just lose the game. Like, it'll just kill whatever caster.
Right. What's the POW? Oh, it goes up to POW 17?
Yeah, POW 17. three dice on all its mat 7 attacks.
Yeah.
Ignores every spell.
It's like
camp.
Because it's a Grievous Wound and Arcane Assassin.
Yeah.
You're just donezo. You're just donezo. But actually the list that I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, these were just sort of two random thoughts I've had in the interim here. I guess I'll save this one.
You should. It's been very interesting the way the juniors... I wasn't quite sure what the impact the juniors were going to have on people's conversations. If people were just going to straight dismiss them or actually give them chances to affect...
Like boosted POW 12 with Siege?
to affect faction play styles, actually, yes. But yeah, I mean...
Colin is the worst.
Everybody's now hopping into... I mean, you're seeing a lot of forum posts where it's just like, okay, our junior... Who's tried it? What do they like them? What do they want to do? Let's check everybody. Let's go through every caster. Let's look at them and see if there's something they can actually bring to the table, which is fantastic. It's people are really getting out of their box.
Yeah, I mean, there's such cool pieces in there conceptually that everyone wants to use, and they just have to find the spot for
it. Right.
The list that I've actually been most excited about in my Crix dojo lately, which has been kind of stale. I've been kind of feeling down on the old Crix of late. Which is why I'm going to go play Signar for a while and recharge my batteries.
There you go.
Perfect faction to do that.
Yep.
Colin could tell you all about it.
Play some Nemo.
But I've been kind of floundering on my Gorshade 3 build, and I finally came into something that I think is how I want to play him. Because I've never been much of... I like the fact that his assassination exists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm a fan of that, but I don't want to build with... just that being my goal, because that's not my playstyle. I like to have assassinations as a threat to force the game to go my way without having to risk an assassination.
Yep.
So anyway, my only nod to the assassination in this list is the two arc nodes, because the siphon bolt,
stationary siphon bolt.
Yeah, the stationary siphon bolt assassination is certainly enough to keep people...
to keep people honest,
and they should respect it, because the assassination can come from a long way away with the old infernal machined arc node running from downtown.
Also, Gorshade 3 can get up there, which is what I had to do because I didn't have an arc node on my list. But yeah.
So other than that, I just kind of wanted to include really good models and a lot of recursion. So Blackbane's Ghost Raiders for their self-recursion. Mm. Soul Hunters, because they're some of the highest value mocks you can get. I want to try the Bane Cav at some point. I don't have them yet, and I've just seen Soul Hunters used to such great effect. Not having to rely on impact attacks to get multiple attacks, so you can just take your three attacks as they go. And then I took a minion of Mechanithralls with a... Scarlet Commander, and the Surgeon, so that I can do the make. Have you guys talked about the turn one?
We haven't.
Actually, we have. No.
Yeah.
So Gorshade is some bull, because what he can do is on the very top of the game, with turn one, any turn, in fact, he can have his own army remove three Mechanithralls. The Surgeons will collect the corpses. Surgeons will create new Mechanithralls. And then the ones that are dead are still technically dead and can be mockeried back into, and can be returned to the unit.
Yep.
So he can turn one Mechanithral into two.
Boo!
So yeah, just think about it, it was a bonus three Mechanithrals for that price of zero.
Yeah. It's like, you got to go first. You get three free Mechanithrals.
Oh, gee, thanks, mister.
Seems all right.
And then any turn that they don't kill something more valuable, you get more free Mechanithrals. So I've got the Mechanithral engine in there. And then, because it's always nice to have something to feed into the Mechanithral engine, I was like, oh, what do I want it to be? Do I want it to be Blood Witches? They're pretty good. It's standard. Do I want it to be Satixis Raiders? They're kind of fast, but they're still pretty strong. And then I was like, I really want a unit that is offensively self-sufficient. And there are not a ton of units, and it's actually kind of a strange thing. There are not a lot of units in Crix that are offensively self-sufficient. Usually they all come with the caveat of they suck at hitting things.
Yeah. Mat 5, mat 6.
Most Crix units have mat issues.
Yeah.
So that's why Soul Hunters are an offensively self-sufficient unit, because they have the cavalry charge to back them up.
Mm.
Blackbane's Ghost Raiders, because I have Captain Rengrave in the army, are...
better.
Are self-sufficient.
Are they mat? They go up to mat what?
They go up to mat 8.
Eight?
Wow.
There were 7. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure they go up to 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Is it like gang or something? Is it some elite copter
thing? No, I think they're just mat 6.
Okay.
The Revenant pirate crew are 5 with gang.
Got it.
So they're 9.
I knew one of them was. I had never seen those models enough to remember the difference, but I knew that they had that.
And Banes are offensively self-sufficient with the inclusion of Tartarus.
Right.
But I didn't really have points for that, and I wanted to incorporate the more living models into there. So my problem with both the Satixis units as a core unit, which is kind of what I'm looking for in this case,
true,
is they don't have. They also have the problem with command. They can just break. Gorshade, I don't think, is an exceptional commander. And above, yeah, he's command 8. He's terrible. and I don't have
Butcher.
We're not looking at any other great commanders in this list. I guess. Like Randy Graves in 9, but that's not a 10. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to dust off the Blood Gorgers.
What?
Because Blood Gorgers are offensively self-sufficient in that they are mat 6 with gang. Mm. They're power 11, gang to 13, so scything touch 15.
Plus they've got 2 attacks.
They have 2 attacks. So they can do a lot of damage. The only thing they're missing is defensive. They're not defensively sufficient. They're 12-15s. They're storm nouns.
Ooh. Right.
So we solve that problem by they're my intended occultation target.
Right.
They're also medium bases, right?
They're also medium bases, which just makes the whole list generally a bit more resilient to some types of attacks.
Yeah.
Like tramples and so on and so
charges.
Forth.
Yeah. Shenanigans.
Include General Gerlach, who unfortunately will probably get killed very quickly in this list because he's behind a bunch of stealth.
we can't see all these ogres. What about that one back there? I see him. Pow! So,
what is their defensive stats again?
12-15.
Is Gerlach's more than that,
with
isn't he?
Sitting?
He's 12-7. Yeah, one wound.
Yeah,
eight boxes.
eight boxes, tough.
Yeah.
Each Blood Gorger is one wound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One wound, tough. With Gerlach, they're no sleeping on the job, so tough, no knockdown.
Is he like command 9?
He's command 9.
Command 9, yep.
He also gives them overtake when they're in his command range as well. So they can clear a lot of infantry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll feed back into the mechanithrill, so their deaths aren't that huge of a deal. So I'm gonna give them a try. I think it's going to work out. So that's my unit layout. And then I've got Rengrave, Daragraith, and Gerlach. So basically the guys that tune up all the units I'm taking, it's like Black Banes. Take Rengrave. Soul Hunters, take Daragraith. Blood Gorgers, take Gerlach.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one time, I just need it to happen once to make me happy. I'll hopefully have made some Black Banes or some Mechanithralls throughout the course of the game, and then I'll just be like, please let it be a unit of Iron Fleshed Chaozzi, like jammed up in my face, or Iron Fleshed something. Just something that's really hard to hit. And then I'll thread my dudes in there, stationary them all, and then I'll just be like, just put Gerlach at the end of the unit and say, they're dead.
Yep.
They're all dead. And then I don't have to roll any dice. They're just dead. I've killed them all. And Gerlach is now here.
Just want to live the dream.
but, no, they're all dead.
They're just dead.
And just, I mean, you have to continue, like, because of clock issues, you have to continue to move them.
It's just like, the sweet, sweet Mark II field test for a while when Calandra could kill units without rolling dice. She'd be like, I feet, and I befuddle that unit. It's automatically befuddled. They move themselves into this nice circular formation, and Axer moves into the center of the formation. They're all dead. I cannot fail any of these, because the lowest I can roll on anything is a 6. They're all dead.
I'm imagining, Gerlach on the battlefield, just, staring down these troops, and then all of a sudden, there's this puff of snow that goes up in front of him, and then he's just like, I got this, and he just teleports to the other side, and then all of a sudden all those snow cones just fall. Mm. They're just people. Yep. He's just got this badass pose going.
Yep
he just ninja strikes through everything.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
And then, the other end, and then all everybody's bodies fall.
Yeah, then everybody cuts in half after he's
yeah, exactly,
there.
Yeah, he nice sheathes his sword, axe. And then they all
his samurai axe.
and Gorshi is just like, follow up.
And I had
selfie.
I had enough room left over for one Warwitch siren to help be a Warwitch Siren and run.
Be a Warwitch Siren.
So
I mean, they are insane. I put two in my Terminus list just because they're Warwitch Sirens and they just spray stuff.
And because on the assassination run, you don't have to spend a focus on allocating gear, right, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yep.
Blackbane's Ghost Rangers and Mechanithralls to trigger the feat. Soul Hunters and Bloodgorgers, Mechanithralls to do a lot, and everything in the list does work. It's obviously very melee-centric, but it's all recursion all the time. I'm just casting three mockeries to victory. That's the plan. So
that sounds bad, and you should feel bad.
So, is that something like if someone tried to stack some armor stuff against you, you just play another list, you just avoid that, or are you considered...
Why?
That?
I've got power 13. I've got power 15 Bloodgorger. I got power 17 Mechanithral.
Yeah, also Gorshade is a monster in melee, too.
Cool. Yeah, it's not stacked for armor, but it's very capable.
Yeah.
So
I wish there was room for Dark Shroud, but there just isn't.
I just want to point out, I love what Gorshade has done to Crix players, and like seeing them take a different caster is just it's enjoyable to see from the outside.
Okay, sorry, just a suggestion. I know obviously it means giving up that Warwitch on armor, which is probably blasphemy, but could you swap that out for the Ragman? Because Ragman does sack pawn to living models, so if anyone tries to shoot him, he can scoot them onto the Blood Gorgers.
But I don't, like, that's just taking stealth away from, like, four Blood Gorgers, which isn't very exciting. I mean, I can help, I guess I can stack him next to Gerlach and just be like, oh, you're going to shoot Gerlach to death anyway, so. But, Gorshade's undead. Yeah, he's just different. He's just undead. A different kind of undead. Yeah, Ragman's an interesting thought. I would probably opt for Gorman instead.
Yep.
Do the Blood Gorgers have Pathfinder?
They do not.
Okay.
Do they have... Gerlach has Relentless Charge. Mm. I don't think they do.
Might need Saxon.
I was thinking Saxon because of the Mechanithralls, and I was like, oh, wait, do Bloodgorgers have Pathfinder? Maybe
they
don't.
I'm a little shy. That's a good point. I have Soul Hunters. I have Soul Hunters and Blackbane. So I actually have a decent amount.
Yeah, you can sort of play the field, and if there's like a ton of rough terrain on one side.
Or Inhospitable Ground.
Yeah, or that.
No. Action Saxon fixes it.
Action Saxon does fix it. Don't know who I would drop. It would have to be the Siren, and that would just make me very sad.
What style of list do you look to drop this in?
What
list do you look to drop this against, I guess?
Pretty much whatever. It's all-comersy.
Yeah.
It could play very comfortably against Protectorate. It could play probably not very comfortably against Signar, but that's sort of the curse of Crix. It's fine against pretty much all of Hordes.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see
one,
that.
One thing, too, which is interesting, which I think a lot of lists take for granted, too, you've got quite a few vehicles and guys in there, too. So, you know.
Yeah.
So that can also be another angle as well.
Gerlach causes terror. The Bloodgorgers cause terror,
so
which is kind of neat.
So does Rengrave. He causes terror.
Gorshade causes terror.
Rengrave, Gorshade.
But
Derrigraith can't. He can cause command checks with Hellfire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he can force a whole bunch of those things.
It's just kind of those things that, you know, people don't always focus on, but it can be a real pain when you get hit by the Bloodgorgers, and not only do they catch you to pieces, but whatever's left fails the test anyway. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's a take on Gorshade that is fitting for me, I think, provided the Bloodgorgers work how I want them to.
Yeah, I've definitely seen you try or like,
I've tried Bloodgorgers a couple times before, and I've taken them out probably a grand total of like 5 games in my entire War Machine career.
I've played against them,
and every time I take them out, I just throw them away in disgust after the game.
Put them back in.
So miserable.
Bah, ugh,
so miserable. Mm. Memorable games include one against Raven, where they just died to a man without doing a damn thing. That was Jim. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, that was the one I definitely remember. But yeah, Blood Gorgers are just trash. I played them a little bit more. Oh, there was this shining moment. There was this one shining moment in the Mark II field test, where they had it wasn't Dismember. They were just all weapon masters against living models.
Blood
Finisher? Finisher. It's the same rule. It's whatever the
poison?
The Blood Weavers have. Maybe it was a Dismember. Maybe it was just against beasts.
Hmm.
That sounds about right. But yeah, they were definitely weapon masters against war beasts, and it was glorious. They hit so hard.
Refreshing.
Yeah, I'm happy that doesn't exist.
Now they just have Bloodthirst. Also, they used to be, like, this is a unit that used to be not great, but they were so cool. Because they had this ability in Mark 1 where they would, when they attacked and killed living models, they would collect blood tokens.
Okay.
And as they gained more blood tokens, they gained more abilities.
Oh, yeah.
And they gained up to, like, it gained up to 10.
10 different abilities.
No, no. It was like it 8 or 10 blood tokens, and it was like...
It was like if they have 5 something, if they have 8
something. Once they get to 3, they're 4 plus tough. Once they get to...
Oh, my God!
Yeah. And it was amazing. And then Gerlach collected blood tokens, too, and when he was at max, he could spend them all to reactivate the Blood Gorgers.
What?
It would just go twice.
Oh, this sounds awesome.
So they went from being, like, this amazingly cool unit to being this, like, mopey... sad shadow of crappy trolls.
Yeah, they gorged on too much blood between Mark 1 and Mark 2.
Yeah.
Like, Gerlach sort of hung in there, but the Blood Gorgers... I mean, he got that... He didn't have his, like, Pac-Man ability in Mark 1. Mm. He just had Flying Steel. He just made D3 attacks. So he got a, he probably got a little cooler, but the Blood Gorgers paid the price.
Aww.
Rengrave got a kick in the dick, too, so...
Yep.
Kicking the dick.
He used to have an ability where he could just, from 9 inches away, he could just point at a unit and that unit would lose 2 command.
Sure.
That's pretty sweet.
That whole front line is out of formation now. God damn it.
That's not how formation worked in Mark 1. Formation was you just had to be within 3 inches of another member of the unit.
That's weird.
That's
weird.
Yeah, it was very strange. Units had to stay a lot more clumped together for fear of just small parts of them falling out of formation. But yeah, Rengrave. Also, Rengrave had an ability, instead of, I think he has Sackpawn now, Sackpawn to other Revenant members. He had an ability called Cabin Boy in Mark 1.
Cabin Boy!
Where it was just, if he died, it was basically Rask's call to sacrifice. If he died, he would just take a Revenant pirate in his command range and flick them over instead. He was just, like, if there was a Revenant pirate alive, he couldn't be killed. And then those Revenant pirates would just come back.
Yeah.
From their own ability. So killing Rengrave was
pretty difficult.
I don't know how I feel about that. I want to say I like it, but I don't.
It was amazing.
All right. Do we got any more dojo?
We do. We certainly do.
All right.
I also have to... I'm just kidding. I actually do have dojo, but I don't have the list with me. So
screw you, Fox.
Yeah.
Okay, so... trying to explore the comment I made before about when some of the Krieg stuff gets souls, how they work very well. So, a bit of dojo for Asphyxia 3, looking at his tier list. So, I've gone to tier 3. So, just very quickly.
What's his face? West Efron collects souls.
Yep. So, effectively, under his tier list, you can have Krieg's non-character warjacks, Kankerworm and Malice, units, Bile Thralls, Mechanothralls, Necrosurgeons, Soul Hunters with a Shadow Combine. Solos, Warwick Shirens, and non-character undead solos and battle engines, do not worry. the rat engines. Okay, so
I thought we were going to see that guy.
Tier 1, basically, you can only have the models listed above. Add a Necrotech solo for free for each Helljack or Colossal in the army. These ignore FA restrictions. So that's nothing to rave about, but that's not bad either. Tier 2, if you include one or more Pistol Wraith, the Pistol Wraith gets advanced deployment. Tier 3, if the army includes 3 or more units, for each unit in the army, one model can begin the game with a corpse or soul token. Tier 4, if it includes a Kraken, you get 2-inch forward. So I didn't bother going that far because we're not having a Kraken. but essentially what the list is, it is Asphyxius 3 with Vociferon. Battle group consists of Malice and the Inflictor. 2 Pistol Wraith solos, and then we get the 2 Necrotechs for free because of the 2 Helljacks. And then units, I have a minimum unit of Mechanothralls with a Scarlet Commander and 3 Brute Thralls. And then a second unit of Mechanothralls, full unit this time with 1 Scarlet Commander, 2 Necrosurgeons, the soul, full unit of Soul Hunters, and I do have the Wither Shadow, so that's, I'll throw that out for suggestions. That's obviously, I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be my first choice of having the, using the Wither Shadow in this list, but the reason why I've got them is because I wanted to have the 6 units. The reason why, obviously, having, starting from the top again, having Vociferon and Malice both starting with a soul, they're both They both have Ghost Shield. So particularly Malice, he obviously starts with a soul, and then he gets the extra soul, so he would effectively go to Armor 19. Obviously having the Inflictor with Armor 19, so not actually trying to go something different, having a couple of Crixjacks with Armor 19, a bit more resilient. Again, obviously the two Pistol Wraiths having the two souls, and then choices are you could have the two Scalelock Commanders having the two souls, or you could have the Necrosurgeons having the two corpses. And
or you could start a couple of the... You could start with a couple of the Soul Hunters having a corpse.
Yes.
You could start with... I would probably myself choose a couple of the Wither Shadow Combine members.
Yep.
Normally.
Yep.
And just to start that cascade like you talked before about if you have a soul to get a soul, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly right. So, I mean, obviously with the two commanders, the Wither Shadow Combine, the Soul Hunters, Malice is a soul taker as well. Vociferon, obviously, Asphyxius. So, obviously looking at the list... one thing I do like having the Wither Shadow Combine in the list for is that Malice can become quite effective with his drag. So you can basically Puppet Masters him. Obviously, he has a higher rat and a higher strength on his drag. Asphyxius, obviously, you know, depending on what he wants to cast, but obviously has mobility, so can really put his threat range up quite significantly. And I just thought, you know, obviously generally looking for an attrition-style army, having the Inflictor, obviously we've got to wait for him to be released, but obviously having a Shield Guard is good for Asphyxius himself, or obviously having him near Vociferon. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind the two units of Mechanothralls, obviously the one Min with the Brute Thralls and the one Max. The one Max obviously is going to stand up front and take a majority of the punishment, with the idea being that the Necrosurgeons are going to pick up the dead. And then having those Brute Thralls in there is just your heavy hitters at the end. Obviously with Carnage and Scything Touch, they can hit quite hard. If we feel we could obviously just drop those Brute Thralls and make that second unit a max unit, and then, or again, obviously, the key with the Wither Shadow, because obviously our, under this tier list, our choices of troops are limited. Put Bile Thralls in, but I really don't. I mean, I suppose that can be an annoyance. People have to shoot them. You could just stack it again and go for another unit of Mechanothralls. I don't know. What do you guys
think? Is the idea of the Min unit supposed to be behind the Max unit so that you're constantly refreshing those with the...
Correct. I mean, effectively, what I'm looking at is effectively having the Min unit with the Brute Thralls to basically be there to just deliver a pretty strong punch. And that they can basically... you know, just positioned to counter against any threats. I mean, okay, you've got an Inflictor and Malice, and they're both PNS 16. You know, nothing really to rave about. But with Scything Touch, obviously, they can go both go to 18,
right.
Which obviously I think is still pretty strong. I mean, obviously, Asphyxius hits pretty hard himself. I was thinking the Soul Hunters is probably obvious target for Ashen Vale. That makes them quite good. Obviously, they're going to... My thoughts is they're going to be a... going to be your good infantry clearing, or put pressure on a flank. You know, obviously the Mechanothralls are just going to march towards, you know...
Having multiple units of Mechanothralls gives you the opportunity to do some really kind of clever tricks, too.
Right.
You can do... If you're faced with a very difficult-to-kill heavy, like a Mulg or a Sentry, something mean gets up in your grill and you need to kill it, you can send in three or four Mechanothralls or whatever's going to fit, punch it up some... Send in some Soul Hunters to take reach attacks on it, and then like kick and little sickle the Mechanothralls to death, and hop out, and then have the Necrosurgeons add to the other unit the corpses that just got removed,
and send
basically the same Mechanothralls back in again.
That's not bad. I
like having multiple units of Mechanothralls, which isn't something I can often afford the luxury of. But when you do have it, you can start getting.
What do you think in terms of just keep those Brutes or just get them out and make it two full max units of Mechanothralls? Or
I don't mind the Brute Thralls, especially if with a Kraken. No, there is no Kraken.
No, there is not. There is no Kraken. So I mean, obviously,
but none of that's AD. So your deployment zone gets a little full with multiple units of Mechanothralls in it.
Mm.
So
what's this Vixis 3 feet
balls?
Basically when an enemy model is forced to cast a spell and or spends one or more focus or fury points while in Asphyxius control area, Asphyxius heals, die 3 damage points, and gains 1 soul token.
Okay.
So rites of shadow last for one round.
So nothing that really affects your army composition at all. I was just from a list standpoint, not that I always play the feats, but I like to keep the feats in mind when you're building something.
Thinking Asphyxius 3, think Scar 1 light.
But he could do it every round, right?
He gets his damage buff every round,
right.
But his hit buff is much worse.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and for the, I mean, getting yourself all powered up at the beginning of the game with the souls and corpses that you have, I mean, could you get another, what's a min unit of Mechanthralls?
Trey.
Three. So I could, I could ditch the Brute Thralls and put another min unit.
Like, so have a max min that gives you another soul corpse.
Currently I've got max and min, so if I did that, it'd just be max min.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so doesn't that, under the theme force, give you another soul to work with?
Yep, that'd be.
I think I like max min.
I kind of like that too, because you can have them on either side, and then they start, and people will have trouble clearing, especially when you intermix them. They're going to be working on shots to one or the other to try to clear out one of the infantry units. I mean, you're going to have to do, you know, decent job. I'm assuming you have yours painted up. So like, okay, this is the blue unit and red unit and yellow unit, and this is the max one, and these are the min ones, and they're all going to get intermixed. Then all of a sudden, there's like, well, I got to shoot at. I'm trying to clear off the reds, but they're all over the place, and you know. You could make it so it's really hard to remove an entire unit of them from the table when you have that kind of conglomeration of them.
I mean, the good thing about them, obviously, is you know, their biggest failing is they're mat 5, but obviously with Carnage, you can
seven per year.
Make them hit, and then a power, two attacks, or one big power
field. And cycle that around. You know, I mean, you put it on the main unit to start until the main unit starts to get
Carnage
low.
Carnage is an area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Control
area. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I can do everything.
Carnage, as in
it's scything. Is
one
it
of the
touch
Makeda's.
Thing?
Has
Makeda
it.
Has
he has scything touch. Yeah.
So is scything touch is an upkeep, right?
Yeah, it's just unit upkeep.
Yeah, so that would be that's what I meant. So scything touch on the main unit until it gets low on people, and then you can just cycle it out to another one. And yeah,
if only he could cycle worth a damn.
Yeah,
you can't cycle.
He doesn't have a Scarlock.
No, if he had a Scarlock, it'd be fantastic.
Oh,
because
he can't cycle for free. He has to cycle like everybody else does.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he can't cycle to like. 3 units a turn. Just 2.
There's one thing I'll say about the Scarlock Commander. When people have that thing unpainted, I think it's a Scarlock.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a Scarlock.
Like, you'll see it on the recorded game that I had with the Lich 2 list. He had it with the Bile Thralls that he had in the back. He had a Scarlock Commander, and I'm just like, well, I guess I'll take a shot at that Scarlock back there so it can't cast any spells. He's like, that's actually a Scarlock Commander. It looks exactly like a Scarlock. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm definitely killing that thing. You
except
know?
It's holding a spear and it has like a headdress on.
It is technically a Scarlock.
Well, yeah, it is.
You know what I meant.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But I mean,
that was the caster attachment. I didn't realize it was. It's just the commander thing. Yeah. But those things look a lot alike. You got to be clear. So I'm just pro tip. If you see that thing on the table, ask if that's a commander or an actual Scarlock.
So again, I mean,
adjust your targeting.
I suppose the idea behind this list, obviously, you know, it's going to obviously be a bit of an infantry swarm, which obviously Peace Guard does itself. So, you know, from a competitive point of view, from a personal point of view, I don't know if it carries enough weight that, you know, can unthrone her. I'm not 100% sure. But, again, probably more so from a, you know, casual type, want to explore, fix this Hellbringer a bit more. I'm, you know, just throwing it out there. So.
And theme forces are generally in that design space. There's very little of them that are meant to be... competitive.
Yeah,
Some that are, but
yeah, I suppose from my point of view, I suppose, you know, probably with Malice, probably, and then having the game starting with the souls or corpses is probably something that's a bit cool, you know. And again, if you're able to protect your guys and get that flow on effect where, you know, they can use that boost to continue on, then it can snowball. And I think a lot of those guys can do a lot of work. You know, and just that boost up can help them a lot.
On top of the ghost shield for the Jacks, which is very interesting. Yeah, those guys are def what, 13?
Yes.
Def 13, yes. Arm 19?
Malice becomes 19. And I mean, when you think about it, if he's going to do a lot of work, if he gets, because you can give him 3 focus and have 3 souls, so he can actually do a lot of work if he needs to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so.
I like it. I think you should try it out. Are you coming to the shop tomorrow night?
We're on the road tomorrow night.
Can play. Got it. We'll play sometime.
We will.
All right. No, I like it. I would definitely. I think min max seems best for the bomb.
Well, that yeah,
for the
again,
Bane, or that, the Mechanthrals.
Well, then the advantage of that gives you seven. You get 7 souls or 7. You know, well, a combination, but you get 7 starting
souls
on,
and corpses
on different things is probably a good start. So
yeah. Seems solid.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's our dojo section, and I also believe that is a podcast.
Is it?
Uh-huh. No, all right. Well.
It isn't.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
It's a bad podcast, at least.
That didn't happen.
He's lying.
Yep.
That's the best running joke.
So,
that didn't happen.
Everybody out there, be sure to check out the Muse store. MuseOnStore.com is where you can find that.
MuseOnStore.com.
Boosh, count it, got one.
Yeah, you actually remembered this time.
Yep.
It was an ass crump. I think there was a couple other times where he got it right.
I think the last 2 weeks I think it was okay.
And then everyone tries to mess him up when he's saying anyways. Yep.
That's for the follow us on situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which.
And then, again, check out our store. We have last week's stuff.
Okay.
Make sure to like us on Facebook.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yep. You almost messed it up.
At Muse on Minis. I almost messed it up. And also continue to leave in your comments and our forum threads. We like seeing what we can improve on. So continue to do that.
Which is everything.
And lighting Crump on fire.
Yes. Keep lighting him on fire.
I feel like we were pretty good about not talking over each other.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's so weird.
Our ideas actually got aired out and we got to discuss them like rational adults versus shooting them down and telling them that they're garbage immediately.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of yelling and complaining about Minions specifically.
It was strange to hear Lance and Fox actually get to talk about in a podcast.
We said a whole bunch of things.
Remember, if you haven't taken it yet, to take the Who Are You crippled system.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't.
And then,
who am I?
And then if you get Jeremy, kill yourself.
Yeah, I got Jeremy.
I
got
to go.
Wait, did you get...
Nathan gave me his phone, and he's just like, you got to do this. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'm afraid I'm going to get Jeremy. He's like, just do it.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So I did it in front of him and answered all the questions, and I got Jeremy.
Yeah, Chad got Jeremy, too. I have a feeling that everyone's going to get the test is just designed so you always get Jeremy.
I got Katie.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So apparently me, Nick, and Keith are going to have a threesome.
Nope.
Because I'm Jeremy and those two are Katie.
It's not
you guys are going to wear masks.
So real eyes wide shut moment.
So awkward.
You guys, Crippled System guys, if you ever hear this, if you guys make a Jeremy mask, I will wear it. Get a Jeremy mask, I will wear it.
Do you mean kill Jeremy, skin his face, and give it to you as a mask?
That's
what I'm understanding you to
apparently
say.
Apparently,
right
I would wear it.
Apparently.
All right, I'm Colin.
Keith.
Fox. I'll say my first name.
And Lance.
Thanks for listening.
No, I didn't.
We are starting the pre-ramble right now.
Oh, okay.
Right now. Right now.
Yep.
Right now.
We're not doing this.
Right now.
Right
now.
We're not doing that.
All right. Do you guys want a pre-ramble about anything?
I don't know.
No? Scorn. Scorn. Wait, can we, like, turn the whale into an elephant from the Signar Mwah?
I don't know. I think they still need the whale to keep them honest.
So wait, so actually the grumpy cat shooting laser beams in space is what keeps Scorn honest?
I'm not familiar with Grumpy Cat.
You haven't seen this?
What?
Why has nobody seen this?
It's pretty great.
All right, I'm grabbing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fantastic. Yeah, anybody seen any movies?
I saw Snowpiercer.
I did too.
It was amazing.
So good.
God. We also, we also watched.
We didn't talk about it last week.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we just watched it.
No, we
didn't. Have you seen Snowpiercer?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what it is?
No idea.
All right.
Who wants Keith? You going to tell him? Tell him what it is.
Is it something I can download? Been in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, they put it.
It's Korean, isn't it?
I think the script and or the direction was Korean. It's interesting. It's kind of a new way of releasing movies that they're experimenting with. It's going through a limited theatrical release and immediately to video on demand at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've heard it two ways. I've heard that this is something new that they're trying out, and I've heard that they got locked into a video on demand.
That's what I heard too. They released it. They were going to release it in the theaters, and then it wasn't getting a lot of traction. They weren't getting a lot of interest, so they signed the contract for the video on demand for DirecTV and for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, some critic saw it and went crazy for it, and it started spreading like wildfire. And all of a sudden, it was in Entertainment Weekly. They had an interview about it. So now all these other theaters all of a sudden wanted it, but they're like, but we, a week from now, it's going to be on video on demand because we signed that contract. Oh, okay, here. And so they were giving out, but then you could still go watch it if you wanted to for like $6.99 at home if you want to. But
it seems to be successful in both ways, which is
it does.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think it's actually a like really fun movie to see in theaters.
I bet. It's kind of graphic. There's a lot of people dying in intriguing ways.
Yeah. A whole lot of killing.
Axes and...
What kind of film?
Yeah, no, that whole arms made the movie.
The plot premise is that the whole world is frozen as the result of an attempted fix to global warming, that humans just basically froze the earth. And all of the remains of humanity is on this train that has a path that goes all the way around the globe once every year.
Yeah.
And it's just got a perpetual motion engine in it.
Lance is showing the grumpy cat.
The grumpy cat shooting lasers with Trevor riding the back.
Well, last week I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, nice.
Slow start, but picks up a bit. So I thought I enjoyed it. So
cool.
So yeah.
I liked the first one a lot. I was kind of curious how much connection there was. I'm assuming.
There's some connection to it. But yeah, I think it's worth a watch. So you know. It was pretty good.
Was James Franco in it much, or was he in it at all?
There was a small couple of scenes.
Small couple of scenes.
Basically, when they're just looking at some old video of him.
Oh, okay.
So, but no, that was the only, not in person, he wasn't, you know.
Fair enough.
Wasn't in there at all.
Yeah.
All
right.
But, I mean, he still made money, so that's good.
That's right. They certainly would have to pay him a few dollars to put his face on this.
James Franco can't not make money.
That's exactly right.
Pretty good
payday. The weirdest dude. He does nothing, but he just gets paid
for
whatever he does.
Well, exactly right. They just dig up some old footage and go, I've been paid for that. You can pay me again. That's my kind of job. You know.
He can get up in the morning and he's just like, I'm going to decide to do this today. And then he just does it.
Yeah, Snowpiercer is a pretty rocking cast, too.
It was crazy the amount of people that were in it
Chris Evans, William Hurt, Ed Harris, Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
Octavia Chris Spencer. Evans. The rest, I know their faces. I don't know their names.
The guy from that Turn show that's on AMC.
Oh, yeah.
He was the second-in-command guy.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a commercial for that yesterday. I was like, oh, my God.
That's that guy from Snowpiercer, yeah. Octavia Spencer from The Help. She won the Academy Award a couple years ago when the movie came out. I'm trying to think what else.
Who else?
Just a bunch of little other character actors you'll recognize. But it was, surprisingly diverse cast of people that wanted to come together and playing this movie, even bit parts that weren't very long.
It was kind of a, like, the premise, the whole premise was, like, bizarre, and it was executed in kind of a bizarre way.
But oh, yeah.
But well.
I very much appreciated the fact that they didn't bother to, like, they didn't go on explaining things.
No, it was like this is what's happening.
Usually whenever you get into a wacky sci-fi setting, the way for it to go badly very quickly is to start explaining things too much. Yeah. Rather than just sort of let people figure it out.
Yeah, like riding an elevator. You see, we're riding this elevator because... You're like, hey, shut up. Shut up. Just ride the goddamn elevator. You're going somewhere. We get it. Keep going. Yeah, it doesn't matter how this is powered. I don't give a damn.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll believe it. You don't have to make it make sense.
The movie does a good job of explaining as they go kind of what's going on. But it comes full circle at the end. It's like, oh, crap.
Right. Well, and that the cool thing about the movie being on a train is that it's just linear. The movie, you're pressing forward and moving up a train.
Mm-hmm.
So every train car has a different scene for them to do something different.
Yeah.
It must have been easy for them to film. I mean, they just get a boxcar-shaped sound studio, dress it up however they want to for this scene, have them run through it, tear it down, put another one up.
There were a lot of comparisons to Dante's Inferno because of the sort of like...
Yeah. Circles
very,
of hell
very
kind of thing.
Different environments that they enter as they approach each different car.
Right.
Yeah, there was one point in the movie where I just kept on going, like, because there was one point where they go into a car and it's a school, like it's like a kindergarten type school, and then like the next car down is like just a bunch of drug addicts, and you're like, wait, we don't know where these kids live yet. Do they have to go through the drug addicts to get to school?
Yeah.
So it's just like some megatron. How big are these characters?
Yeah, they're giant trains.
They're pretty big.
It's meant to be like a super long miles and miles of train.
I don't think I ever saw like a living quarters at all.
There was.
I saw some offices.
Yeah.
Like one point where like an old lady was sitting and knitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there weren't any really...
Well, there was living quarters that I think was explained as like the soldiers... Like, that was, like,
their bunks
the next
and
car
stuff.
Down, their bunks that were empty.
It was just on the other side of where the guard station was that they were giving them the food from. Mm-hmm. If they went through there, then there was the bunks and for things for the soldiers. But they never showed, like, the living area of the rich people.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that other was than, the...
Well, they had those little train cars that had the little side, like, Harry Potter cabins that had stuff.
Yeah, I thought that's what that was.
Maybe that's what that is. But one of them had, like, a tailor
it
shop
really
in
small,
it.
Small, though.
I only saw, like, a tailor shop and one old lady knitting. It seemed like maybe they were... Up above, like
maybe,
maybe.
My one complaint,
but that's I didn't care. Like, there was a fine thing to not explain. It's like they live somewhere. It's fine, whatever.
It's fine, whatever.
My one complaint was that like I've been in trains that actually seemed bigger than some of those cars, but this is like supposed to be like the biggest train ever. Basically,
it's not supposed to necessarily be the biggest train ever. It was just a. It was just like if you're gonna live through it,
it's supposed to be self-contained and its own ecosystem.
Yeah,
and
but like. Some of the cars, like, there was one car that was, like, an aquarium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That car was freaking huge.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, it looked just huge. Mm-hmm. So, I don't... Yeah.
That part was awesome.
There was a couple of them that had, like, the staircase really awesome. Going to upper levels, and they eventually came back down. And so, it looked like there might have been some space in there. And they didn't show every car, either.
No.
I mean, you can't assume that they were going to say, like, we're going to watch him walk through a bunch of cars where nothing happens.
Yeah.
No, it's only you're only going to see the ones where events take place or if something
really
interesting is
going on. There was some that
they
just showed for interest.
Yeah, just for interest.
Like the Taylor.
Yeah, if it was something specifically interesting, then they would show it. But if it was just a bunch of bunks or something, you know, people sleeping in it, wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably wouldn't have brought it up. But no, it's just a really well-done film and... Yeah, surprisingly well acted and well executed.
I think people are just either going to love it or hate it. Like, it seems like that's actually been...
Who would hate it? I don't
like,
someone who doesn't like violence?
They just don't buy in? I guess the violence. But somebody was trying to tell me, like, I had some friends this... Because I told them about seeing Raid the Redemption. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie before. Oh, you need to see that film. Holy crap. It's easily the most brutal martial arts movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Mm.
It's Penjak Silat, which is the Indonesian martial arts that they don't allow you to do in MMA because you kill people.
Mm. Mm.
So it's these guys that's like, it's almost like a Tony Jaa kind of thing with this one guy that's really good at it. And he's got a bunch of these martial art guys. And did you see the new Judge Dredd movie? The Carl Urban one?
Jace.
Yeah. What?
He Jace. Said yes.
Jace?
Jace.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. That was Hispanic. My name is Jeff. So I don't know. That's just what I got from that concept. that movie was 100% a ripoff of The Raid, because The Raid was this group of SWAT teams, cops, going into this drug den ghetto area that's run at the top floor by this drug guy, and everybody else below it are all martial art goon, drug addict guys that he has on his payroll. So when the cops break in, they set off the alarm and everything goes crazy.
And,
so
he's, gonna work
floor, and he's got to fight floor to floor to get up to this guy. Yeah, and it's just the most brutal fighting you've ever seen. Like this, and the scenes just keep going. It's like 20 minutes of the guys just wailing away on each other, breaking off pieces of like fluorescent light bulbs and stabbing it into their throats and dragging it across. It's just rough. And so I told my friends about that a while ago, and I was like, well, it was a pretty violent movie. And like, no, I think it's going to be okay. And then they called me like midway through, we had to turn it off. It was too crazy. So they told me they were watching Snowpiercer, and they're just like, oh, we saw Snowpiercer. It's a lot like Raid the Redemption. I'm like, holy crap, this is going to be amazing. So I'm watching with my wife. I'm like, honey, this is going to be pretty brutal. She's like, all right, because she watched Raid the Redemption with me, and she was just like, wow, that was really rough. I'm like, yeah, I know. So we watched Snowpiercer, and we're just watching going, when's it get super violent? I don't even know. Like, and then when you got to the end of it, we're like, oh, that wasn't anywhere near as bad as Raid the Redemption. I think they got blown way out of proportion. But
those are just axes. Axe murders are quite pedestrian.
I can handle that. I didn't even use a fluorescent light bulb in each other's throats. What the hell is this? No, man, we got to watch Raid. Why haven't we watched that yet?
I've never seen that.
Okay, if you like Roadhouse.
Yeah,
I like
Raid.
Judge
is
Dredd.
Like a billion times better martial arts.
Wait, Judge Dredd, like the 80s movie?
No, the new one.
No, the new
Dredd.
One.
Dredd.
The new one is completely rips off the story plot of this, of Raid the Redemption.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't a story plot. It's like...
Yeah, it's an excuse for gratuitous violence.
It's an excuse for gratuitous violence with no outside intervention.
Yes. and the Raid has that in spades. There is, in fact, a sequel to that that's out recently that I have not seen yet, where they take it out to the streets and there's just all these fighting going on. There's supposedly one chick who uses claw hammers, two claw hammers, and then another guy with a metal baseball bat. That's like
story.
His specialty thing that they just...
Funny story about claw hammers.
Best segue ever.
We were playing. Yes. When I was last time I was in Madison, we were playing some Zombicide.
Oh yeah,
and claw hammer is one of the dual wieldable weapons. And basically, it is. If you manage to get dual wielded claw hammers, it's like a little bit better than a chainsaw. Anyway.
Okay.
So
you become an unstoppable death machine?
Not quite.
Okay.
You need a little bit more help because it's only kill on fives or sixes. But anyway, Nathan was playing one of the new characters. I think it might have been Kickstarter specific. Uncle Honker. The clown.
What? Just say his name again.
Uncle Honker. Yeah. It gets better.
Is that some sort of like strange...
Oh, no, I just love that Uncle Honker.
Tasmanian, like, Tasmanian slang situation that we need to know about.
Old Uncle Honker's special abilities was called Taunt. He has Taunt.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've played more recent Zombicide.
I haven't played Zombicide ever.
You look at... It's sort of like a loose grid. The system is based on...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And if you can line of sight to a pack of zombies, if you have taunt, you can taunt them and they get to activate, basically.
Okay.
And they have their own AI.
Sure.
They do what they have to do.
Right.
So it's basically a way to, like, move one zombie pack closer to you so that your teammates can kill it or that you can kill it. So throughout this whole game, like, Nathan would just pop around corners, like, seeing all these zombies, and then he would go, honk!
Is that what he would say, like, physically at the table?
Yeah. He'd honk at them, and then they would come closer, and then he would take his, like, he would just go ballistic with these double claw hammers, because he had this other ability called Bloodbath, where he would just, like, it made him move twice and then attack, and then he would just, like...
Sure.
So it's just this clown with two claw hammers going in into this, like, frenzy of bits and pieces after he honks at them.
After he honks. That is quite
honk.
That's quite the visual.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I hear clawhammer.
I'll murder you. Good aside. That was well executed.
Yeah. Oh, the other movie that I've seen recently, it was a rewatch. It's a rewatch, but it was enjoyable. Mean Girls. It's a good movie.
Oh, my
God.
You told me you were watching that movie.
Have you seen Mean Girls?
Sure. And we talked about it at brunch.
It's legit.
Explain. Don't get me wrong. I've certainly seen the film. I've seen the film. And maybe I'm
list three things amazing about it.
Say, maybe my mind's going down a different path. But I want to hear from your perspective.
Lindsay Lohan before drugs.
True.
Seems all right.
Green.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Second. Yeah.
Amanda Seyfried playing a role appropriate to her...
acting and mentality level.
Her talent and intellect.
Burn Amanda Seyfried. You know she listens to this podcast. There's She's going to be so mad.
There was a lot of gold that came out of those lines. A lot of gold there. And, I mean, it was written by Tina Fey, so the script was actually pretty smart.
Legit. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty smart.
Tina Fey is all you have to say.
It's a smart lady.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched that with Nathan and Andy. Well, Nathan wanted to watch it. Andy wasn't very excited about it. But.
Has he not seen it?
Apparently he had before. He just hates fun.
Fox hates fun.
Well, I don't hate fun.
He plays Cricks. Of course he loves fun. Oh, man, we got so many Cricks players in this room.
This is the Cricks episode.
Strength in numbers.
Bear down. Mm-hmm. Yep. Bear down.
Brutus is just as pretty as Caesar.
What?
Everybody likes him.
What?
We should just kill Caesar. It's from Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. I saw that movie exactly one time.
It's not enough.
Oh, God. It's not enough. The PE teacher in that movie.
The PE teacher
that was like hooking up with the Asian girl.
Who was that? That was someone famous, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No.
But I just found it really funny.
So do we have an episode somewhere in here that we want to do? I don't
know. What do you mean?
Like what are we podcasting about today?
Or do you actually do your pre-ramble? Do you put it before your episode?
I put it after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We actually just pre-ramble for like half an hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, however long it takes.
It's usually half an hour.
I mean, we're going to be done here in a few seconds.
We're almost done with the pre-ramble.
I mean, it's 16 minutes in.
How well versed are you guys with 80s movies?
What one?
Is anybody old enough to even remember?
Say some 80s movies.
All right.
UHF?
No. That's awesome.
Die Hard.
Wait, UHF?
I know. I'm talking about a crappy one.
Because might be in the 90s, actually.
What?
It's a Weird Al's movie.
Terminator last night. Yeah. We enjoyed that Terminator.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, my God. I love that movie.
Pretty good. Pretty
yeah, it's not as good as the second.
He didn't like the second one. I thought the first one was pretty good.
You didn't like the second
one? No, I like the second one. Oh, I don't like the first one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
The second one's with a semi, right? And
The second one
has the goo monster.
Has the T-1000.
Yeah.
The thing that turns me off about the first one is that it was after Star Wars, yet Star Wars looked so much better.
Mm. Well, yeah, James Cameron didn't have a lot of money back then. Now he does.
He has more money than God.
But yeah, I mean, that's
he can get into deep sea vessels and just go wherever he wants.
He has all the unobtainium.
He has all of it.
Gosh,
the graphics were a little rough. They did not stand up to today's standards.
1980s robot graphics with the slow like stop motion robot stuff.
Oh, no? Stop motion's so awesome.
Yeah, I know.
I agree.
Between
that and then like every time Arnold like had his eye like ripped out or whatever.
Sure.
And they had like the robot Arnold.
It looked
face.
Very obviously grafted onto the side of his face. Because it was like
sticking out.
Didn't
even look like it was on his face. Like
it just looked like his head was a
plastic
head.
Yeah, plastic thing. Yeah,
something.
It was.
Yeah,
because it was.
Yeah, especially when he was doing his own do-it-yourself surgery. You know, to fix up the eye and
right.
And
right.
Then you see this,
and you see his kind of head going.
Yeah, this plastic doll and these like you weird, know, funny shades, and then you see him looking smick. So
yeah, and then all of a sudden he puts on his glasses, and it's like, oh, hey, Arnold's back.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Fun fact about the first Terminator movie. Arnold was originally up for Reese instead of the Terminator. And you know who the Terminator was going to be?
Who?
Reese?
O.J. Simpson.
That would have been amazing.
For real?
Yeah.
Legit.
They wanted O.J. Simpson to be it. Yeah.
The Terminator. Hey,
they wanted him to be the, and then, yeah, a few years later, it would have come true. I felt bad saying that.
This is true. This is true.
Or are you guys all too young for that, too?
I was alive, don't worry.
I remember that one pretty well.
That did not make sense.
What?
The Chewbacca defense.
That did not make sense.
Why
would the Wookiees want to be on Endo? That did not make sense. Look at the monkey. Jesus.
I do remember that. No, for OJ stuff, I always go to the old Dana Carvey stand-up bits. Do you ever see
the
old Dana Carvey with the where he was just so smooth? It's like, Yana's a handsome man. Yana's a gorgeous man. If I were a gay man, I'd have sex with Yana. We could have naked time. It's like, why are we even having a try? What's DNA stand for anyway? Probably means did not attack. Now I'm going to play some jazz trumpet for you all. I'm just like, oh. We used to do that in mock trial all the time with our teacher at thing. We just talk about him and how amazing he was. It's far closing arguments. Are you going to talk about the case at all? No, we're just going to talk about you, Your Honor. You're just so awesome. But... All right, so the punchline is, so it looks like Siege found the foxhole.
Yep.
All right.
So it looks like Siege found the foxhole.
Got it.
Yeah!
All right.
That's exactly right. What we do after we finish. Yep. And then I cut in the real one, and then we follow up with ours. Yep. It happens every time.
Do you want to do the Welcome to Muzan Minis Miami number 20? Yep.
21.
One. Yeah.
21, nah.
All right, so the other day I was playing it. You also have to stay silent during this, because... You're not going to like this.
Well, you say playing against Keith because he's in this room?
I mean, I say that maybe. Every week.
Yeah, every week he says he's playing you, and you're always doing something incredibly stupid. Like putting P. Denny unfeated 4 inches in front of a bronze back. It happens almost weekly.
No, it was 9 inches. Because it was 7 inches. Because I savaged
He throws
it.
You under the bus player-wise every week, and we're just like, that would never happen. Would never, ever happen.
It's supposed to be as crazy as possible. All right.
You always are playing Keith.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so the other day, I was playing a game against Keith. Remember, stay silent. I got to restart this.
No, you weren't. Just occasionally interject. Complete negative terms. That's fantastic. Do it.
All right. So the other day I was playing a game against Keith. I was playing Siege against his Epic Lich. And damn it, you're going to throw
just
me
keep
off.
Keep doing it.
All right. Hang on. All right, we'll get
let him
done.
Do it because it's funny when he does it.
Compose. Big day breath. Yeah. Compose. All
right. So the other day I was playing a game against Keith. I was taking Siege against his Epic Lit.
Liar.
God damn it.
Okay, then don't do it. I guess.
Get a happy plus.
All right. So the other day I was playing a game against Keith. Nope. I can still hear you. I'm wearing the headphones.
No.
No, he's like, he's over here like hiding his face behind his hat saying this stuff.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
All right, so the other day I was playing a game against Keith. I took Siege against his Epic Lich. He had kind of left himself open because he didn't put up any clouds in front of Lich, and he had cast a parasite and boosted to hit. So he had, you know, not all the focus he could have had on there, and he had upkept Campus Hellbound. He had upkept Hellbound, so he didn't. He only had like three Fury on him, or three focus. Sorry, and I was like, oh man, I see a chance to like just kill him with Siege.
Didn't have it.
So I took Siege. I feeded. And I just blew him off the table. And then Siege, had to actually just, like, he beat Keith so bad that Siege actually went to jail. In jail, he met Fox. Fox drops a soap in the shower. And he might say,
looks like Siege found the foxhole? That's a terrible joke. How did you get all the way to that?
Gross.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah,
that's gross.
That's straight out of Nigel.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was awful. That didn't even involve the game after a while. That was just
it started launching into
weird.
Some random
yeah,
that
was a fanfic.
Yeah, where Adam Fox and Siege are in a prison cell together. What the fuck just happened? I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable.
Way better lead-ins for that.
There are much better lead-ins.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Did you have a joke?
I mean, it was...
Did it involve the foxhole?
No, it wasn't really a joke. I came up with it at the tournament yesterday, and it involved It's a Hard Mock Life and Gore Shade 3. So you just sort of set up the story and, yeah.
Wait, what?
It's a Hard Mock Life?
I don't know the setup to the story.
Okay, just the punchline. Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps another time.
Maybe.
Wait, is this joke sticking?
Hmm?
Is this foxhole joke sticking?
I don't like it. And I think we're going to get some complaints.
Well, obviously.